You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is liberty. Each week, we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty. Rock and roll.
Hey there, Liberty lovers. This is Mark Clare of the Lions of Liberty podcast, where we strive to bring you great conversations about the ideas of liberty 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Check us out at lionsofliberty.com.
Hey guys, this is Roger Paxton, and if you're fed up with the government running every single aspect of your life, but you're not listening to the Lava Flow podcast yet, then what's wrong with you? Check us out at thelavaflow.com, or just go back to sucking up to the government. The Lava Flow podcast, striking the root every single episode.
We are supported by listeners like you. Donate per month or make a one-time donation through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com. Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. We Are Libertarians brings you all of the irreverence modern politics deserve. Think of us as the love child between National Review and Mad Magazine. We explain to you what the hell is happening in our world today and how we can fix it by thinking differently. Please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, share this episode with friends, and support us through PayPal or Patreon at WeAreLibertarians.com. We are supported by listeners like you, so $1 per episode by pledging $5 a month helps us grow. We're always taking your questions and comments via email at editor@WeAreLibertarians.com. If you are new to the program, we catch up for the first 20 or 30 minutes or so, and then we do a deep dive into analyzing current events. And I would finish reading my script, but Mittens just walked right in front of the intro.
We're behind schedule. She had to get that in immediately.
Right, exactly. This show is for adults by semi-adults, so please be warned, the language is strong and offensive. And the program is always irreverent. We try to look professional if you're watching on our YouTube channel or on Facebook Live. And it looks like a professional studio until the cat the cat jumps on and just puts her her cat butt right in the old camera's face.
I've got the best view in the house.
You have
the right up the old shitter.
Right. It is amazing how every time we start the show,
you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up.
It's so true. That voice you hear is my dear, 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 committed, on every episode co-host, Greg Lenz. Greg, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you tonight?
We seem to be missing someone.
I'll tell you, you remember last fall when you had Cornelius.
Right.
And then you had Mittens.
Right.
Well, then you somehow acquired Muffins back.
I cucked my ex-wife's cat, which used to be my cat.
You did. And you ended up getting some cat pheromones because it just threw off the general vibe of everything.
It was, yeah. It was out of control in here.
And it was irritating you. I mean, I remember one episode you went and got up mid-episode and threw them all in the bedroom, locked them in there, then felt so guilty about it, you unlocked it and let them back out.
I love my cats. I love my animals. As you know, dear leader is generous and thorough.
Yes, and then you...
To all creatures.
You deported poor Corn Muffins.
Cornelius went and lived with our friend Christine, and she's doing great. She's living the life.
You repurposed Corn Muffins.
Yep, she's gone.
And what I've noticed...
She's in a better place.
...is just like the issue with Corn Muffins. When we had the third cat the last few episodes,
right,
it threw off the vibe.
Oh.
And now that that cat's gone, everything's so much better. We should have a strict two-cat policy on We Are Libertarians.
You know she's listening right now just for her name.
I hope so, because... Really, if we're being honest, two scoops, two genders, two co-hosts.
Goddamn right.
That other voice you hear is that of Tanner Perdue. Tanner, you seem to be lacking in self-control.
Self-control.
Yeah, you're talking before you're introduced.
This is my dad.
Now,
I mean, am I right?
No.
Damn right, son.
Tanner.
Thank you, Dad.
You seem to be slow of speech tonight. It's not like you. Is everything okay? I'm worried about you.
I'm fine.
Now you're... But
I did mess my leg up, though.
You did? Now
it's Vicodin and stuff, dear leader.
It's like I'm on a Skype call and there's a lag.
No, I haven't been to the doctor yet, but it's swollen like twice the size of my other knee.
Your eyes are swollen too, man.
Yeah, I was boxing the other night.
You're boxing? Is that why your eyes are swollen?
I mean, probably.
You should see a doctor. Your eyes are red, too.
I mean, I'll ask the doctor why they're red.
Did your mom poison you again? Like at
my
the
mom's
party?
Actually watching. Hi, Mom. I love you.
I have a feeling I'm going to have full custody here pretty soon if the court has anything to say about it.
Tanner,
does your basement have enough space for him?
Yeah. Oh, he's been there before. That's where his locker, quote, is.
Now, can you shake him? He's falling asleep. You seem
I'm not falling.
You seem very relaxed.
I'm very relaxed.
Yeah. How'd you get so relaxed?
Dakota, we can go. He's not going to need us for the show. We're good.
You're talking before you're introduced. Shut your mouth.
I can't just say what I did.
Somebody farted on your pillow again. You got pink eye.
I'm afraid I've been poisoned.
You've been poisoned, huh?
I think Mom poisoned me again. Rachel Valor.
Your mother poisoned
you. I have a feeling. Remember, Greg?
I remember the pool party.
Dad, you remember that one?
I was desperately worried about what was wrong with you, and it looked. I thought you had contracted pink eye from Jer's party.
The reason I'm calm is I'm calm when I get furious. And I have a feeling Mom has poisoned me again.
No, my friend Tom Worthen, my high school BFF, my high school Greg, if you will, said to check Tanner's drink because I'm Bill Cosby-ing Tanner, which is not the case.
Oh, hell yeah. Please do.
There's the casting couch right there. Please. How bad do you want your own podcast, Tanner? Yeah,
you want to get into podcasting, little feller?
Throw a roofie.
All right. Now, next up is Dakota Davis, your very first appearance here on We Are Libertarians. Welcome, Dakota.
Is this the time where I say long-time listener, first-time guest?
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, okay.
Now, Dakota, you are a co-host on the Boss Hog of Liberty show.
That's right.
Right. And what is it like being in Jeremiah Morrill's kingdom?
You never know what to expect whenever you walk in through those doors. I'm telling you right now.
I'll tell you, he treats you worse than arguably any podcast co-host in all of podcasting.
I go over there for a simple podcast, and it turns into a...
Hey, help me put up this fence. While you're at it, would you do the gutters?
It was his fence.
The fence was mine.
I know.
Quiet. You've not been introduced.
Speak when spoken to.
No, you don't. He does that to every co-host. He yells at them at the beginning of every podcast. You've not been introduced. He just the whole show. Dakota, correct me if I'm wrong.
It's very true. He still does it to me. Like I still need introduced.
Right.
Been 16 episodes, and I still need an introduction. Apparently.
Yeah. He just screams at his co-host.
Power corrupts
the entire time. That we are, of course, speaking of Jeremiah Morrill. Jeremiah, how are you?
Hello, dear leader. Thank you for welcoming us on the show.
I'm so glad to have you. Now, you guys have your own podcast, and it is the Boss Hog of Liberty.
I'm very proud to have brought all of my friends to today's show.
Yeah, you... I'm
the only one that rode with him.
Tanner, you drove yourself, huh? Of course.
He's fiercely independent.
He says, of course. Now, Tanner, how's the drive over?
I thought it was awesome, really.
It's a beautiful drive, isn't it?
Beautiful.
Right down 70 from the east side of Indianapolis.
Yeah.
How many, do you remember how many police officers we saw on the way here?
I didn't see one.
Yeah.
That's right.
How many did you two see?
We saw two.
Two?
Plenty.
Plenty.
Were they hiding in that little trap right before you get to 465?
Or what?
No, there's one as soon as we got on to 70.
Yep.
It was like, there's the one.
Always.
Oh, yeah. It was a state.
Yeah, statey.
Yeah, I remember seeing him.
Yeah.
That's the only one I saw.
Now, Jeremiah, you have a podcast called The Boss Hog of Liberty that everybody should subscribe to. You've built quite the following. You've got a very good following. It's a very funny show. I've listened to approximately 2.5 episodes, and I really enjoyed it. Okay.
There's up two whole episodes.
It's like my uncle's here. He's just
it's drunk uncle over there in the corner.
Just you listen to two episodes. Good for you, fag.
Yeah, so we're 16 episodes in. It's been it's a little bit of a pop culture show. It's a little bit about my life, Dakota's life, and whatever guests we have on.
Yeah.
It's focused on small time Indiana, a lot of local politics, and we try to cast them out for national issues, or if there's a story that catches our eye that's national, we'll talk about that.
A lot of, you know, it's like a real life Pawnee. You are actually the real life Ron Swanson.
Right now, I'm the Ron Swanson of Henry County, I guess. I'm the president of the local parks board. I'm not the day-to-day person, but yeah, I have the, I'm the president of a park.
Yeah. Now, we seem to be down someone already, Greg.
It's nap time.
He said he'd be right back. Given the handicapable state he's in, I don't know how quickly that means.
Perhaps somebody's at the door.
Considering he got lost entering the apartment complex, and we were shouting Marco Polo and told him to honk his horn.
Now, honk your horn, we can't hear him.
Was that the door shutting?
Yes. He left.
If you'd listened to three episodes, he'd have stayed.
I won't say who, but I was given two gummy bears. All right, he's coming back. Okay.
No, he's not. I just...
It could have been Jeremiah. It could have been you. It could have been yes. Muffins. It could have been Dakota.
The likely suspects. That's who the investigation would start with.
The ones here wearing collared shirts.
Yeah. Brought me two gummy bears that... Oh, smell nothing like sugar. I'll be keeping those to keep young Tanner safe from drugs.
Oh,
hugs.
Theoretical
drugs, right?
Gummy bears.
Right. Theoretical. This is show business.
Yes.
You have a lovely pie on the table.
I do. It was provided by the very lovely fiance of Dakota, Miss Audrey Jo.
Yes.
Soon to be daughter-in-law.
Soon to be daughter-in-law. And I was stunned because when you asked what kind of pie I like this morning in chat, I honestly thought it was a setup for a punchline. Like, I was going to be, whatever I said was going to be the victim of some punchline. So I read it like, I'm not taking the bait.
Yeah.
Turns out it was a real thing.
A real pie.
And she baked me a cherry pie, which is just awesome because it's my favorite. And I'm a little shocked, though. If I listened to episode 16.
Yeah.
Given her tone and her feelings about
you
me.
You did listen to episode 16?
I'd have bet money that there wasn't a pie coming.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I listened very well.
I told you there would be homework. You really needed to listen to that.
I listened very, very, very intently.
Yeah. Now,
you were uninvited in no unclear terms.
Oh, it was made crystal clear that I am not to be a part of any wedding ceremony, even as the father of the groom.
Am I invited?
None of us other than Jer, I believe. Because it's family and friends only.
As or I like, noted,
you know, family only.
I get to go, but I have to stand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeremiah's not allowed to sit.
It's more of a, it's forced French, it's forced groomsmanship.
Everyone be quiet. Dakota, I'm not invited to your wedding.
You're invited to the reception.
No, 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 no. I don't care about receptions. I don't drink. I don't dance. I love Jesus.
Dancing, I can...
Oh, boy.
Did you just spill a beer?
I did.
No!
The sober one here.
Take your crackberry off of it. It's getting yeah. Beer.
Make sure you...
That's irreplaceable.
Oh, boy. We've got a real situation here. Dakota...
It is dripping on me.
I started this podcast network. I made you. And I'm not allowed to come to your wedding.
I didn't invite anybody to the wedding.
This is outrageous.
There was 100 people that were invited.
See, they always like I've been.
You've been through a wedding.
I've been through a wedding. You were at my wedding.
I was.
You timed it.
I did. I think it was less than 15 minutes.
It was 14 minutes and 45 seconds.
Yeah.
It was almost as short as the marriage.
We had yats at the reception.
Yeah,
I love yats.
We managed to get that wedding in under $5,000. It cost less than the divorce.
That's our exact budget too.
Yeah, it's hard to do a wedding under $5,000.
It really is. Like people don't. My dad does not realize that.
Yeah. Make sure you talk right into that mic, Dakota. Your mic technique, as much as we've tried with young Dakota Jer, he's not getting it.
We're getting there. He's been going through his diaphragm skills, and he's been practicing. At the end of episode 16, I had to tell him to get
Tanner.
Right up on that thing.
I just tried to break into your neighbor's.
Tanner, why did you spill this beer?
Yeah.
Yes, you did. You
There's beer on the table, and then you left shame.
No, you spilled your beer, Tanner.
You spilled the beer and then you walked away.
No, 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 no. Sit down. We're very angry with you.
This is an intervention.
You spilled a beer. Sit down.
I have that kind
of thing. No, sit down. Talk into the microphone.
Sit down in front of the microphone.
What is going on?
You spilled the beer and you ruined the table and you ruined a microphone.
What?
Yes. Don't you remember when you did that?
I miss Scat Cat as well. I'm answering comments on the chat.
Everybody, let's focus on Tanner spilling the beer, please. Sit down. Tanner, Greg, can you just move back a little bit so people can see his face?
I did not know that happened.
Yeah, you did. You spilled the beer. Sit down, man. Yeah, we need to talk.
You spilled one of Greg's beers, too. Like, it wasn't even...
Yeah.
It wasn't even one of the cheap ones that we're drinking.
Tanner, what do you have to say for spilling that beer?
Did I do it?
Yes, you did it.
Like, you guys aren't just playing.
No, we're not playing with you. Playing. I'm very angry right now,
like,
actually.
Seriously?
I'm very... Yeah.
Look at your father continuing to clean up your mess.
I'm just in shock.
You're in shock, yeah.
No pie for you.
I'll give you the money for it tomorrow.
All right, you owe me $3 for that beer, Tanner, that you spilled.
Did you ever replace the broken Guinness bottle from Jeremiah's?
Oh, no, I didn't, did I?
Empty right. Promises.
Tab's up to $10 now.
No, but what about the microphone?
Yeah, well, we'll have to talk, because that's a $100 microphone you ruined.
And your father's BlackBerry got wet.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I did not.
You did.
Did I knock this over?
Yeah, well, you knocked a beer over.
What beer?
The beer that just spilled.
The one in the can? Or
yes.
That one?
The can beer.
How could you?
This one.
I don't know how. It was all the way over there.
We're just all very mad at you right now.
Wow. It was whenever you moved the
Well, we're
going
to have to start the show over. This was awful.
This is... You ruined the show.
Yeah, someone better call that kid an Uber.
young Tanner will be sleeping here because he seems to... look at his mouth is just wide open. He's...
No, I'm just like so upset.
We're going to get through this. It's going to be okay.
No, like... I don't remember doing that.
Well, then you need to see a doctor.
No, like, what happened exactly? Like, did I stand up and just fucking knock it
I
over?
I think when you got up to leave, yeah, you don't know why you left.
Whenever
you
moved the mic, whenever you tilted the mic
right
out of the way.
And I turned around.
Yeah, well.
And you just clipped it, barely.
Oh, my God. See, like.
I knocked it over. Talking about Audrey.
I knew you guys were fucking.
Oh, we're so sorry, son.
You sons of bitches.
You're an easy scapegoat.
I'm leaving.
I can't believe that worked.
I know. I'm leaving.
It barely did work.
It didn't barely
because,
work.
Like,
it totally worked.
At first, I was like, you guys are fucking with me. And Dakota was like, no, I'm fucking pissed. You're supposed to be my brother, dude.
Now, how did this Dakota? Start where there? Now, Dakota looks like
you started
upset.
It.
Well, I took a photo of Dakota, and he looked like a young Greg Lenz. So I said he must be your son. And you go, well, I didn't have sex at 11, so he can't be my son. But none
it
of
was
us.
Was 12.
12, whatever.
I just
But
turned.
Rachel Valor said, oh, yes, you did.
She outed me.
I thought it was Lisa Joe Crosby.
It's all the same.
Honestly, I was 12. It was a long time ago.
Let's be honest. Rachel is new
Rachel's
Lisa.
Rachel's my mom.
Now,
replacement Lisa. Hi, Lisa, listening down in Miami.
Rachel is my mom.
Now, and then how did Tanner get adopted?
Then Rachel Ballard, like, listened to it, and then she goes, your son Tanner, because she didn't realize it was Dakota who you were referring to.
Right.
And so then I was just like, well, I'll just, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll just claim him. You know, he needs tutelage. He needs, you know,
he
I'm bringing him along.
Figure.
I got him that haircut, cleaned up his act.
I'm the man.
Started, you know, getting him in extracurricular activities.
Yes,
such as boxing.
Cricket Wireless Empire.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor Tanner. Tanner's looking for employment.
I'm still upset. Like, I knew it was bullshit, but, like, when you guys actually said it was for real, like,
we
still felt
you.
Like it was bullshit. But
are you still talking about spilling the beer?
We were asking, yeah. That you're looking for employment, so if anybody
I'm not really looking for employment.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
give him 20
I'll take
days
a
notice.
Job. I'll take a job.
He's got a gummy bear empire.
My girlfriend, Sarah Potter, just tried to call me in the middle of the show.
Of course.
No.
She knows we're live. She's watching, and she just tried to call.
All right. Well, make sure you listen to the Boss Hog of Liberty.
That's probably important.
She texted back and said I was rude. It could be ugly. I don't know. I could be in trouble.
Yep. Can I plug this? You can.
So, oh, you got a phone charger.
Yeah. I don't have a box for you.
I don't know what to do.
As accommodating as his box is, it won't handle a plug
like
yours.
I feel
like
this is something you should have been prepared for. Yeah. Yeah, do that. All right, so Boss Hog of Liberty on iTunes. You go, I think it's just BossHog.com, maybe? Boss Hog of Liberty.
It's Fireside. Just Facebook, look Boss Hog of Liberty.
I'll tell you what you do. Yeah. You
or go, just go to the link on We're Libertarians.
Go to podcasts.
Yeah, go to We're Libertarians on the right-hand side. You can find the Boss Hog of Liberty there. Tanner is on very often. I wish you guys could see Tanner.
It's causing quite the... The scuttlebutt within the community. You're starting to rustle some jimmies in the local government structure.
Absolutely, yeah. We've had a number of different local decision makers on and influencers on the show.
Interesting.
So yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Now, are they open to all of your topics?
Some have been. Some enjoy it, but tell me they disagree, or they tell us they disagree with us anyway. But that's cool.
So you're changing it from the inside podcast.
Our podcast is influencing the Henry County Courthouse. At least half of it listens.
I'm trying desperately to get chickens to be legal in Newcastle.
You can't have chickens in your backyard?
No. No, you have to have at least 5 acres.
Is that why Tanner was trying to punch honeybees because he couldn't catch the chickens?
He was anger.
Yeah.
Furious.
It's all MMA training.
Now, when he talks off mic, ignore that he's talking.
Well,
I can't focus.
This is a lot.
Tanner, go into the kitchen.
Right now, for those of you that are off camera here,
Tanner's performing a slight scavenger hunt.
He went outside to get a phone charger.
And behind the blender, there's a thing that you can plug in.
He's currently getting directions from Spangle to where to plug it in.
Yeah.
But he's wandered. He's hobbling because he did go through a traumatic knee injury yesterday.
His knee injury.
His ACL's bad. So he's gone.
He's got a knee brace on, I'll be honest.
He does. He's legitimately hurt.
Oh.
We were late coming over here, dear leader. I do apologize. But
you
Tanner,
should.
Tanner had forgotten to put gas in his car because it's needed. You have to burn gas to get here. Then he didn't have his debit card because apparently somebody swiped it from him or lost along the way.
Well, when you're an OG libertarian, you only use Bitcoin.
That's true.
Or you barter so you avoid taxation.
So on that bum leg, bum wheel of his, he had to go into the Flying J, stand in line, come back. It's been a whole thing.
I like that Dakota goes, "Did you cancel your card?" And I go, "Why are you pretending like he's an adult?"
The kitchen is through there, buddy. On the other side of the curtain.
You were just in it. He said, whenever I asked him if he lost the card, he just said, "Well, it's protected by a PIN number."
I know. He ruined.
Secured by Visa.
He ruined show business. He broke the light now. He blew the mystery that there's a kitchen behind there. If you're watching on Facebook.
He's our little anarchist Tasmanian devil.
Yes.
Glaucoma free and tearing up everything.
I want to take a minute before we move on to start talking about North Korea to thank a few people. We talked about a few of the software. I'm redesigning the site. I'm building out a few different things that you will hear me talk about with Lynn on the Chris Spangle Show. That's another podcast of ours. And I'm going to talk more about the...
There's rustling in your kitchen, dear leader.
Dakota, please, go help your brother.
Nothing's wrong.
It's behind the...
You told him to use the blender, didn't you?
I did. Please don't turn the blender on. I'm going to rebuild the site. We're planning out a few different things, and I'm going to start doing that podcast about podcasts that you've told me to do, and doing a few other things. And we're trying to raise around $500, and I'm about 300 of the way there. So I need around $250 more. I want to thank Rick Irvine. I want to thank. I'm going through the list. Austin Broderson. I want to thank Christy Avery and Craig DaCosta. Ryan Ripley's helping us out. He has a great podcast, The Agile Answer Man.
Tanner says he's good for $50 too.
Tanner's going to donate $50. And then, are you okay?
He looks like he's in pain.
And thank you guys so much for helping us out. So you guys are the best, and you're charging me?
No,
your phone is charging. I was like, I think it sounds like you owe me something. So we're almost there. We're rebuilding. We're building out a few new plans to try and the membership site will be up very soon too. So that is what we're working on. Also wanted to take a moment to plug my buddy Johnny Rocket, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad has a comic book, which you took and took a look at.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I'm still not sure if it's a graphic novel or a comic book. Like, the production value is insane.
Yeah.
And the only reason I say that is because I know to certain libertarians that will be, you know, calling it the wrong one will be an act of excommunication.
Yeah, it's very cool. At JohnnyRocketLaunchpad.com. It's called Liberty Force, and it's on Comixology now. So check that out.
Well done by Johnny.
Forward by Tom Woods. He's not messing around.
No, this is a great book. It's a really good book. So
it's really well done.
Let's talk about North Korea, the fat little midget in North Korean midget in is midget appropriate for Kim Jong-un?
Is it dwarf midget or
Un?
He's a little dictator.
Vertically challenged.
I don't think he would be considered even a midget.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Midget expert Tanner Perdue.
But we'll still call him a fucking midget.
All right. And so Kim Jong-un has made certain threats. Can you fill us in? Let's start off with what exactly happened with North Korea, Greg.
So North Korea, the UN Security Council, all seven voting members of the Security Council, all voted to impose sanctions, the most harsh sanctions in the history of the UN against North Korea, essentially overnight crippling 30% of their economy.
Including Russia.
Russia and China both supported the resolution. China even helped bring it to the vote. They facilitated it. So it's a pretty stunning rebuke. And the reason why they did so is China hasn't exactly been very helpful in handling this problem. And so this is extremely harsh economic sanction by the UN Council. And it really does threaten the economy to the point of instability of the North Korean regime. Because it'd be like the United States economy suffering just overnight 30% cut on exports and unable to export iron ore, seafood, and some other raw materials that are the primary exports for their economy. But since they don't import anything...
What trading partners do they have?
China.
Yeah.
Iran, I believe. I assume Venezuela. Yeah, and so this cripples the regime.
If they lose China, that's like their major trading partner. They're going to be screwed.
And it's really almost not even trading in so much as it is aid, because their economy is almost entirely dependent upon aid because they spend all their money developing weapons, their actual hard currency.
China provides their aid, too. So
I mean, yeah, China's their lifeline to feed their citizens, even though they're under, you know, it's right at the precipice of mass starvation all the time in North Korea.
So this starts with new sanctions at the United Nations.
And huge. The one of a kind. First of... if you're a college football fan, it's like when they gave the death penalty to SMU and 20-year ban, no scholarships. Like, it is brutal.
So when did the UN... When did the Security Council pass
last
these?
Week. Last and week. Then that's what triggered... They had tested in July. It was in response to their two tests of their inner ballistic missile program. And so their most recent one, it appears, looks like it could... it definitely can hit Guam. Hence him saying that, you know, that's something that they're looking into.
Right.
And so what we don't know, though, is it's very, very debatable as to whether or not that they could actually miniaturize the nuclear warhead to the point it could hit.
I read that, too.
What actual exports does North Korea have?
Iron ore, seafood. I'm trying to think what else.
Could you imagine North Korean seafood? Coal. Is that what they get at Long John Silver's?
It's the same. It's the same sea you get for Chinese food. Okay. It's the same sea.
All right.
They have lead and coal.
Lead and coal. I mean, it's all raw materials. They're very much like
unrefined. They're just
it's the resource curse, basically. Like, they have no developed economy, one, because of communism, but two, because they're entirely dependent upon what raw materials they do have.
But they will be a superpower by 2020.
I was shocked to find out seafood would be one. I would never go order North Korean shrimp.
That's what
North
I'm saying. Yeah.
Like, no, I want the South Korean sushi. Don't give me any of the eel.
Now, it is unique because the Security Council spoke as one voice, including China.
Yeah, and so China's actually been a little bit... Russia was the real wonder whether or not they'd hold out, and because President Trump signed sanctions against them.
Right.
And then requested 755 U.S. diplomats be removed from Russia in response to the sanctions. So that was a bit iffy and probably took quite a bit of hand-holding by Secretary Tillerson behind the scenes, you know, because that would have... It looked like a weak move by Putin to go ahead and vote with the U.S. interests on these sanctions.
Alex on the Facebook Live says that there are no industries to pollute the water, so their seafood is considered high quality.
Oh, that actually makes pretty good sense.
Thank you, Alex.
I think I read that the same time you were saying it.
Yeah. Now, North Korea is facing the worst drought in 16 years, which has to put a ton of pressure on them.
Their actions are a result of the instability that's societal pressures.
So what North Korea is doing is they're basically, they do this every so often, trying to get money.
They do.
They're saber-rattling, and they're...
It's a desperate act.
They're trying to scare everybody into paying them off, but at some point, they're just going to go over the edge.
Exactly. And at some point, that's the thing, though, is no nuke is really ever... No one's ever... I mean, the United States is the only country that's ever used a nuke on offense.
Right. Yep.
You know what I mean? And it was to stop World War II, to put an end to it. So
that's what we tell ourselves.
Yeah. It was really because we're racist against the Japanese and our hatred of Toyota and Hondas.
Is Michael Schulteis our North Korean friend? Is that what you're implying? Yeah.
We need to watch him. I still have never received an apology for World War II from Michael Schulteis. Until he apologizes for Pearl Harbor, Michael, I'm sorry.
But he is from Tennessee as well, so he's from the South. You should like him for that.
Yeah, but Bittner's from the South too.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Can't do that.
I'm conflicted.
Oh, Bittner. Listen, I got to warn you.
I know. I'm not pleased.
Bittner's coming next week.
You Bittnered me.
He will be here.
You treated me like Jeremiah Morrill's Chevy truck. you're gonna let him wreck our podcast like he wrecked your Chevy
right over him.
It's a GMC Sierra. It's in lovely condition. Listed on Craigslist $6,200.
Yes, Tanner.
What was that happened to your truck? Like, what did he do to it? All I saw was the picture.
It got bitnered, man.
What did he do?
Oh, he hit some little girl.
Okay. He ran over.
She forgot that there was a fire hydrant in front of his house. And when he cut it to the... He backed up into it.
It was a dog dressed like a fire hydrant.
If it had been a pug, he'd have swerved.
If it was a pug, he would never have damaged it.
Yeah.
Dakota Davis, 4867 Northview Lane, Newcastle, Indiana. Send your letters there, not to me. Animal violence is never funny. Now...
Sometimes. Says the kid whose class in high school killed several turtles, hit a goose with a golf club, and then poisoned monkeys with monkeys with Tylenol.
That was not my class.
Nothing to do with it.
I think it's kind of fucked up to have kids dissect frogs and cats and shit.
I don't think that schools should be dissecting cats either.
That's fucked up.
I'm with you.
I dissected a cat in high school.
Do you eat Chinese food?
I wouldn't do it. I told her to fuck off.
Now, President Trump responded in probably like in the most Greg Lin's way on Twitter. Well,
they said it was improvised. Yeah. So he had prepared remarks.
I think he watched the first or second episode of The West Wing,
yes,
where President Bartlet said he's going to rain down fire.
Yes, with the wrath of God's own thunder.
Yes, I believe he tried to go Sorkin on him.
He did, and he did it off script. And boy, did that... Because at the same time, Secretary Tillerson is trying to get Russia to be... Because any no vote on the Security Council stops sanctions.
Right.
So you need all seven. And so the whole time Trump does this, he's mid-negotiation on the vote.
Yeah, and
no, he wasn't, because the vote had already been handled, and then Trump responded to Kim responding
with his
Guam
threat.
He wrote this: "They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen."
As far as threats go by a president, that's good.
That sounds like
crazy about him saying that. Is normally when he says something, he has his like when he says something. Normally, he talks like with his hands like that,
right?
And he had his arms folded like the Grinch whenever he was saying it.
That was actually really talked about. It was the first huge aberration in Trump's body language during an announcement. Was that he said it with hands folded and looking to the side.
He looked like
Nixon. They were tucked like when Kat gets nervous and smells her armpits.
And then she sniffs them like this.
It's exactly his body, his posture during that.
Oh, so this was, I thought this was a tweet.
No, he
said this in as a response. Because, I mean, Kim says that he can hit Guam. You know, they do the tests.
Guam schwam.
And it's honestly,
there's a major military base.
Yeah, and then Dan Coats has been went around and said that this was North Korea poses an existential threat to the United States, which is just ridiculous.
Right.
They don't. Like,
Theoretically,
yes, but we even have a nuclear missile defense system, and it's been tested successfully once in non-wartime, in a non-wartime test, but they don't have this sophisticated technology. This is primarily been fed to them by Pakistanis and Chinese.
Our partners are the ones that we're worried about. We're worried about South Korea and Seoul.
That's the real worry.
Japan and defending them.
And Japan's less of a worry, except that we are very much in a treaty that's about as binding as any treaty that exists in defense of Japan for a regional threat. Really, and the threat was considered China with Taiwan.
Check on your brother.
He's okay. He's going to make it. Yeah, the same with South Korea. I mean, we have vested interest in making... I mean, we have a treaty with them to make sure that they aren't overrun. I mean,
we're the reason they're sort of in the predicament they're in. Because back when the parallel was drawn and the two separate countries were... You okay?
He'll be all right.
The two separate countries were set up, and then there was the essentially no man's land in the middle that serves as the protected border with landmines in between. We pushed the envelope on that because actually the North Korean Peninsula wanted unification, not to be split into two.
Well, so South Korea economically is very important to the Americans now.
Yes.
I mean, Samsung, LG, Kia, some major corporations. There's all kinds of manufacturing of name brands that you don't know of, but things that are actually made there. Our economy would suffer greatly if something happened.
Huge. They kind of are the R&D department and manufacturing, since once you lose your manufacturing base, you don't have the people in there tinkering because you just do marketing and supply chain. And right. So you lose that sort of knowledge, and company knowledge goes to wherever the parts are being made.
Absolutely.
Now, is it true that Guam will grow too populated and capsize, as Congressman Hank Johnson once said? Thank you to Ed Bell for reminding me of that funny.
He said what?
Hank Johnson said, is it possible that Guam could become overpopulated and capsize into the sea?
That was a congressman?
Yes. Many Scott years ago.
Scott Philpott, I think you're exactly right. He is higher than Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
There's a good chance of it.
So, Spangle, do you still have those gummy bears?
I ate them.
Oh,
you missed it. It was whenever you went to go get your phone charger.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed the gummy bear.
Yeah, I ate them, man. They were good. Now,
aren't you amazed how functional he is?
Yeah.
Give him 30 minutes.
No.
That's when the pizza will be here.
They were just regular gummy bears.
Realistically, we shouldn't be that concerned about North Korea, right?
It's when it's nuclear, it's always just it makes you nervous. And like, right, if you right. look at the American media, they're playing it up like we're on the brink of war with the Hermit Kingdom.
Right. And this echoes back, as you put in your great show notes, which we will put into...
I already uploaded them to the group.
All right, to this post on WeAreLibertarians.com for this episode. This is like the 60s with the Chinese in the 60s when they became a nuclear power, and the amount of terror that the American people and the American presidents and Kennedy and Johnson both had in China getting nuclear weapons.
I mean, this is Mao's China too, so it's not like the capitalist, you know, state sponsored.
It's not the China we know today.
Right, which is arguably economically more free than we are.
Yeah, in some ways, yeah.
Because at the end of the day, if there's a bunch of environmentalists, they just run them over with a tank, like they're students in Tiananmen Square.
That's your fascist capitalism.
Yeah, like, oh, look, a new road paved with people. But, you know, like, that's, they don't have any worry or concerns about economic environmental regulations, and that's why their air quality is the way it is.
Ignoring the fact that North Korea is a totalitarian dictator, if you're running Gregdom, okay, you've got your own kingdom.
Dear leaderdom.
Exactly.
Right.
And Pakistan and India and South Africa have nuclear weapons. Why the hell wouldn't you want to have nuclear weapons?
Correct. Which is what this is about.
Yeah,
and has always been about.
Right.
It's a single deterrent.
It is not about North Korea having the ability to attack anyone. It's don't attack us. Which, why would anybody want... It's like... Why would I? You fixed up your truck. It looks beautiful now, which is $6,400 on Craigslist. But why would you want your Bittner truck? You know what I mean? Like, who doesn't want
a truck with a story?
Who wants to attack North Korea? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
And, I mean, for the right price.
Right. So
$5,800 We Are Libertarian special.
If I find out an automobile has even let Bittner within 5 feet of it, 50% percent depreciation.
Bittner has never been within 5 feet of my vehicle.
That's why it's retained its value.
Also available on Craigslist.
I bet we could buy North Korea for 10 bitcoins.
Seriously. Somebody call Jesse Riddle right now.
Well, that's actually, like, the impact that they're worried about is the cultural, like, it's the pop culture, this invasion. Like, eventually information feeds its way into North Korea, and they're like, wow, this isn't the way the rest of the world is. And so it's, so then when you factor in starvation and people being desperate, cultural revolutions right around the corner.
If you go back and listen to an episode we did a few episodes ago about North Korea, you'll hear more of an insight as to what the regime is like, and we also recommended several documentaries in that episode. But let's circle back to the China thing, because I think that that really is instructive. In December of 1960, the U.S. National Intelligence Estimate warned that China's arrogant self-confidence, revolutionary fervor, and distorted view of the world may lead Beijing to miscalculated risks. This danger would be heightened if communist China achieved a nuclear weapons capability. Revolutionary fervor aside, the same assessment could be written about North Korea today. The same rogue state description fits the profile of China in the 1960s. Throughout the decade, Chinese leaders routinely dismissed the dangers of nuclear war and would stress the inevitable victory of the people's war against the U.S. imperialism and Soviet revisionism. At the same time, Chinese leaders greatly exaggerated the capabilities of their own nuclear program and downplayed the risks posed by potential counterforce strikes against Chinese mainland. And they had their first Chinese nuclear test in 1964, but when they did that, Beijing stressed the following: that their goal for developing nuclear weapons was to break the superpower monopoly between the USSR and America.
Which, to his credit, Kim Jong-un has said the exact same thing publicly.
He has also said what China said, which was a no first use policy, which is we will not use them first. We will only use them if attacked. And then China supports the complete elimination of nuclear weapons.
Yeah. That is the one thing that they differ on with North Korea. And this is Maoist China, too, which is much scarier. You know, Nixon would have probably been tried for violating the Jones Act for opening up a dialogue with the Chinese covertly.
Right.
Because he saw that it would be an Asian pivot for U.S. policy long term.
Nixon was your favorite president?
In ways. Roger Stone has my favorite tattoo of Nixon.
Yeah. Do you ever watch Futurama?
Never.
Oh, okay.
Never is mind. It good?
Yeah, it's a pretty good show. It's based in the year 3000, roughly. And they have one of the characters who is the president of the United States is Nixon's head in a jar of formaldehyde.
He would support that, I'm sure, for real life.
Now, despite the caution, John Kennedy, I think, let's talk about some, because I think that as we move into the discussion over North Korea at various points, you know, the Bush administration, I remember post 9/11 was, you know, they posed the greatest threat and
the axis of evil.
Right. And and here we are 10, 15 years later, and they're just the same little broken country that they are. And I think it was really instructive as I read through your notes about Kennedy and Johnson and the Chinese.
I just wish John McCain were still alive to see this.
I won't say his nickname that's on 4chan.
The alarmism that is going on over North Korea is the same that went on with China.
It is. It's the same. It's funny how history repeats itself. But now China is a much... You know what's funny is realistically, China was a much graver danger because of the pure size.
Right.
And then, you know, we were trying to defeat an ideology in communism.
Right.
And here is Soviet Union's in decline, or what we perceive as decline, and here's this young, vibrant nation that's growing on the verge of having a coming out party in the world stage, and it's very, very communist. Not fake communist like Soviet communism, you know, where they just like the totalitarian part. Like, this is a very, very, these are true believers, like Che Guevara type believers that are poised for growth. And so them becoming nuclear is a much graver danger, and yet, I mean, I understand why Kennedy felt the way he did, because he had already seen... You know, he's also young and was going to be tested.
He said, like, the potential Chinese nuclear test, quote unquote, likely to be the most significant and worst event of the 60s. He would disagree in Dallas.
Savage.
Might be the worst.
Shit's fucked, Brett.
I think there are a couple Kennedy incidences in the 60s that were more catastrophic.
In hindsight, he said, go ahead and nuke Johnson.
Right. So, I think the alarmism...
What is North Korea?
But when you look at North Korea, there really is no... I mean, it isn't a... Yes, the guy kills his own people. Yes, he is a dictator, but there doesn't seem to be mass starvation in the way that there is in other places. There doesn't seem to be a humanitarian crisis.
No, so, there is very much support for Kim Jong-un.
Right. It's a very brainwashed society.
And they view this very much, having nuclear capability, as a sign of prestige, and that enhances his control over things. You know, it gives them a... They're a more collectivist culture by just purely historically and as a culture, period.
Right.
And so factor in that they now are all of a sudden viewed as a deterrent threat and a real worry for the world's great evil and last superpower, the United States. That is a feather in the cap for the people that keeps them keeps their allegiance to the idea of the country.
Well, and that's part of the reason that they do the saber rattling.
Exactly.
Is that he's trying to... Nothing gets a... Every president wants to be the wartime president because then they're popular.
Do you know what's coming up in 6 months?
What?
In February?
February.
In February.
Valentine's Day.
The Winter Olympics.
The Winter Olympics.
Where's it at?
South Korea.
Seoul.
They're really? In South
Korea. I did not know that.
In 6 months, we have the Winter Olympics are going to be...
Talk about an added wrinkle.
Right, yeah. Where they're under threat of nuclear war.
Brand new wrinkle.
That is going to be so fascinating to watch. China will step in. So will Russia. Because even Putin, when they had the Sochi Winter Olympics, even he looked like the greatest guy in the world. He just did a phenomenal job presenting Russia. Oh, I'm so wonderful. I love the gays. Took a picture with every gay person in Sochi that week. You know, what are you talking about? I love the women. I have all the women.
Come here, Scott Hamilton.
Yeah. Want to go bear shirt or bare chested riding on a bear with me?
Would you take a trip to North Korea?
No, would you?
No.
I think I would.
After Otto Wampler.
It's like asking if Dakota and I watched a nude swim at Jesse Riddle. No way.
Dakota and I watched the interview two or three times to do show prep, so we're pretty sure it's going to be awesome.
Which I've never watched.
Playing basketball with Kim.
Did
my
he?
My boy Kim. What up?
Tanner. Yeah. Can you wipe the drool off your chin?
You ready for some pie? You hungry?
I was trying to ask Jared a question. But
what's your question?
Go ahead.
I don't even remember now.
How could you forget?
Because it was like 5 minutes ago.
Oh.
Oh.
Man, that injury that you got really is affecting your short-term memory.
That could be it.
He took too much of your medicine before you. He was trying...
Yeah, I do want some pie. Don't, pie's
looking pretty good to you.
Don't say anything.
I think
that.
The Canadians up in Vancouver need to get their Olympic track ready, just in case we have.
Do
to
you
have
think
a backup
they
plan.
Would consider a change of venue?
If I don't know that you can. I don't know that we have the ability to.
I think
the
it's
Olympics
a really
are
good,
so expensive. And the security is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean Mitt Romney had to save the Salt Lake City ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, really, he actually like.
Yeah, he stepped in and fixed it.
Yeah, you give him total control. He's really effective.
My boy, what's Mitt came to the rescue.
Yeah, mittens.
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
When you need something done, get a Mormon. That's rule of thumb.
That's exactly right.
Generally, I always talk to the Mormons whenever they come up to the house. Sure. There's always like they send them on the mission trips over to different places, which I had no idea. I always thought that they were local kids, you know.
Yeah.
But I asked these one guys, I'm like, so did you graduate from the local high school? And he's like, no, I'm from California. And the other dude's like, I'm from upstate New York. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, they
and
get sent like on their mission 18. For 2 years, right at 18.
Typically, they're wide receivers for BYU.
is that true?
That's why all the BYU players nice are always though. Older than
that's
the rest
exactly
of
everyone
right.
else.
Can you clear
Steve Young and all the rest.
Put that on the,
just let him.
Just put it on the table. Let him lay his head down. He looks tired. He looks like he needs...
Fine.
No. Lay your head down, Tanner.
You were talking forever.
He's yours for the night.
Boring. So I was
come on, buddy. Boring.
And I was on my phone. I'm not laying my head down.
How would Hank Hill respond to Kim Jong-un?
He would say, well, God damn it. That...
Don't. Never mind. Stop.
Hold on. Let me
maybe not.
Hey,
He would say, that Japanese bastard, America hasn't seen any real patriotism until George W. Bush went down to Japan and spit on their auto executives.
Now,
is he still a cuck? Did you ever get that worked out with Nice?
Man, he's a cuck.
I heard Mike Judge is bringing that show back. They need a new
voice.
Yeah,
they're bringing King of the Hill back.
You were claiming that Ronald McDonald was a cuck.
That was
is that true?
Well, I mean, you said
you made the claim. That was all you.
Why is he
talking about the chicken McNuggets?
Yeah, you said the
McNuggets. That's what we want to know.
What did you think of their McNuggets?
Well, I can't remember exactly what I was thinking.
Just tell us in general, what do you think of chicken McNuggets?
McDonald's specifically.
I like their nuggets.
Do you? Like did you have a bad experience the other day? Is that why you were upset?
No, I never
have. Did they have a coupon? Did you have like a coupon they wouldn't accept or something?
Were you like a 45-year-old housewife that was angry because they wouldn't accept her coupon that was expired?
I want to speak to the manager.
I was a 45-year-old housewife.
Was that whenever your hair was a little grown out? You had a bob cut.
All right, we haven't talked about Tanner this week at all. He's had a hell of a week.
That's all you've done this whole episode.
We will at the end. We'll catch up with Tanner a little bit, and we're also going to talk about the pool party.
Oh, this is going to be rad.
Your birthday party.
Because Cat's not coming. I want some of this pie.
Some truth slipped out there.
Real talk.
Well, so we'll get to the pool party at the
end
here.
I'm just kidding, Cat.
Just kidding, Cat. I still love you. Take me back.
Now, so China, at the end of the day, China really has its thumb. They are responsible for most of the import-export food.
They're their lifeline.
And so China...
And honestly, it's the one thing preventing them, North Korea, from going to war with South Korea. Purely to get attention,
right.
Like just randomly firing off one of their missiles into it.
How would China react to them setting off a nuclear weapon?
Be pissed,
right?
Literally pissed, because that would trigger them into war with us. Because then we would have to come. Japan would be sucked in, you know, because we're in a treaty with Japan and South Korea,
right?
And so those are as ironclad as of treaties that exist. It could trigger very much a Franz Ferdinand moment.
And Sony, Samsung, and Apple are all involved.
Yeah. And Steve Jobs would not allow this kind of behavior. He would have already put an end to this.
This will unite the Android and Apple communities nothing else.
Get your Kias now. No, the thing...
buy one, get one free.
Discounted Rios
SUVs
today.
After the war, they're going to be... You're going to find some that are easily salvageable for like $2,000 right off the factory floor.
Now, here's the thing about China. China is not impractical. Like in World War I, you had very impractical, silly people running the great European powers. China is a very practical country. Its leadership is very practical. The ruling party is very understanding and aware of the fact that they are on the brink of social collapse and that they're also on the brink of... being a superpower, and a war in the region could easily tip them into chaos, especially
exactly.
If they have a humanitarian crisis of people flooding into their country.
Exactly, and they're in a rough position, because then all of a sudden, if they show that they're willing to fire like a nuke that say only has like 15 tons, a miniature nuke, but I mean like something like, because what was Hiroshima was 35 tons, is that right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And so I mean something smaller. But then that's a real threat. Like, it's
right.
No longer funny. Not that it's funny that they might, like, you know, just invade South Korea, but it isn't funny when they show a willingness to use a nuke, because no one since us has been willing to.
Right.
You know, that's a scary world to think about.
I still think that they're just simply trying to scare us into giving money.
Well,
they just want to check.
Well, let's say they decided to nuke South Korea. Now you're on a peninsula with a place you just nuked, and South Korea's geography is all mountains. 75% of the population lives in 30% of the landmass. The rest is mountains. You nuke the city centers. Now you have a radioactive wasteland.
You've got nowhere to go.
And South Korea is like, what, triple the size of North Korea? There's no way they could make them just all of a sudden take them over, and all of a sudden it's one united democratic republic, communist republic.
South Korea is wildly outclasses them in technology and
the
ability to fight back. You're going to get one shot. If you're North Korea, you get one shot to hit them.
And you're on a peninsula with them.
Right.
Like, it'd be like if we decided to nuke Ohio, which arguably, but...
Michigan might. Indiana's probably going
to
be okay.
Seriously, just to get rid of them.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, if we're talking about Ohio.
In Michigan, we'd
clear
still
up
have
our
the
roads.
Upper peninsula. We could just
it
get rid
be,
of the lower.
Maybe our insurance would go down if we got rid of Ohio drivers.
That's a good point. There are benefits to nuking states.
Yes.
It's not all bad.
Now I see where Kim's coming from.
Yeah, now maybe we should hold Ohio and all our states around us hostage with a nuclear threat.
We have American troops that are stationed on the border.
Exactly.
And they've been there since the 50s.
Truth be told, this isn't a real threat, because North Korea's military is predominantly missile, and then they have the fourth largest military because everyone's in it. It's a numbers thing.
Yeah.
So they have submarine capabilities. That's how they can launch their short-term ballistic missiles with nuclear warheads that have been miniaturized. However, their air defense hasn't received their air force is it, that meme of them on a merry-go-round like in those planes. Have you ever seen that? The acting Air Force, the North Korean Air Force, isn't
no joke.
That far off. They are flying the same planes they got like 40 years ago from Russia and China, and so it isn't. South Korea's Air Force is modern, and so they have the ability to, you know, wage an aerial assault, meaning that all of the ballistic missiles North Korea had would be targeted at the bases in South Korea. So anyway, you end up decimating an area that is only a little bit of it's inhabitable, and the city centers, there wouldn't be much left over, and you'd just have a bunch of mountains you couldn't put people in. So there's just no benefit to actually carrying out this attack. And hitting the United States would trigger your last lifeline to stop all support and ally with it. Would unite China, Russia, Japan, and the United States against the Hermit Kingdom.
So what are your thoughts on Donald Trump actually like doing something about this? Like I know,
I think it's good cop, bad cop personally. Like I think Secretary Tillerson is good cop, and he wants to force them back to the negotiating table.
Right. If he did do something, if he did do some sort of retaliation just based on threats, we weren't struck at all first. Neither was any of our allies. If Donald Trump struck first, would you think that it is justified or not?
No, and he wouldn't, because it is of zero benefit to the United States to go on the offense against the Hermit Kingdom. It isn't like an Iraq regime change. You got to get subsidized, you know, crude oil forever.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like you make that part of the terms of repayment and, you know, for having a military base there. You know, there were benefits geopolitically to Iraqi regime change. There isn't any. We already have a base on that peninsula. They have their iron ore, those kind of things.
Yeah. Fish, what of it? No.
There are other markets.
Yeah.
So there just really isn't. The juice isn't worth the squeeze. And I mean, it is posturing, but at the same time you're doing that, it's all about nuclear proliferation. And Kim is just acting in a way where he's desperate, because he actually is. Economic sanctions are way more devastating, because that actually puts the entire stranglehold on up for grabs. If he can get enough civil discontent among the populace.
From the American side, we don't have this this optimism and this drive to spread freedom that we did in 2000.
We've learned a lesson.
That's gone away. The George W. Bush, we can get them a constitution and teach them freedom, is not at all in the hearts of America.
They could strike Guam with a nuke, and it would get less of a response than if it was the World Trade Center did. Because people don't even know Guam's
a 16-year war, Greg.
People don't even... Half of the people in the United States right now couldn't even point out North Korea on a map.
No. Most of them think, you know.
So why do they care about Guam if they cannot point out?
They don't know Guam's a, you know,
exactly. That's what I'm saying.
So it'd be like, oh, that's so bad for them. Is that like the Philippines with the typhoon?
Is that a
nuclear typhoon?
Yeah, is that a city in California?
Yeah, exactly.
Once again, it's because we have the American military all over the world. That's how we're wrapped up in this.
Next door.
If we weren't sitting in the South Korean Peninsula, if we weren't sitting in Japan on Okinawa with troops, this probably wouldn't be bothering us as much.
And I tell you, though, that's such a good point about the Winter Olympics, because they're going to use that as the biggest piece of leverage they have, a mass casualty strike during the world stage. And he's that kind of rogue wild man that will make that threat, given how desperate he is. That is a really nice bargaining chip for him to have in order to get... Because, you know, the whole thing is about to get them to slow their development of these weapons capabilities. And so, man, Tillerson's really banking on our allies showing solidarity on these economic sanctions to the point of desperation. If we make him desperate enough, he's going to toss that out there. If 30% is a depression overnight.
Absolutely.
So you're talking about a Great Depression in a communist country where they are already on the brink of starvation.
A sanction that big hasn't happened in quite some time.
I don't know that it ever has, other than Great Depression. I mean, you're talking a Cuban embargo.
What kind of sanctions has Iran been dealing with? Compare this to Iran's situation economically.
Oh, it'd be they've had 10%, and it isn't on raw materials. So raw materials, the reason it's so important is because those are mass employment. So, you know, oil, wood, timber, those kind of things. Like, it employs a lot of people who would have a tough time getting jobs in the information economy.
It's labor's work.
If you do it on intellectual property and things like... In Iran, a lot of it was on banking, finance. We froze a lot of their assets. You know, it's not like we put a tariff on dates. You know what I mean? Like, we hit their sophisticated weaponry, those type of things. We didn't let capital flow in so they could grow and expand, that kind of thing.
So if we're dropping these kinds of sanctions on North Korea, how is that different than the type of sanctions that we've had?
This is unprecedented.
Iran has had certain partners that they've still been able to trade with. Where in this case, like, I don't have they had any restrictions with China? It's just been with other nations that they've
I mean, there've been it's been tariff standoffs because right. they use state subsidies for key industries, and so we just end up saying, well, we're not going to let you do that to, you know, our low our labor intensive manufacturing and industries. So it's been a pissing match to an extent, but this is unprecedented.
The other part in the notes that I thought was really interesting, that was a great point, is the layout and geography of South Korea. And going back to what I kind of mentioned earlier, the Pyrrhic victory that would essentially be a war should North Korea somehow win that war. If they were to nuke South Korea, what would they be nuking, and what would they be getting afterwards should they do that?
Chernobyl.
You're nuking Appalachia to get a completely desolated area.
And now, though, it's toxic for 40 or 50 years.
Right. But if they, like it said in the show notes, 75% of the population
lives in 30% of the land.
Yeah, lives in 30% of the land.
The rest
of
the mountains.
If they nuked that 30% of the land, what resources? We already have talked about how their economy depends on raw materials. What resources are in the mountains that they could actually mine?
Exactly.
Is that would that
what
be
they already have? Iron ore. You know, the raw material.
Right.
And really, they have the majority of the raw materials.
So if you doubled what your intake can be, is that a motivator for North Korea?
Right. No.
It's just
then
survival.
You have to deal with the people.
They're in survival mode, and I really do think that this is simply them trying to get another Bill Clinton check that they got 20 years ago.
You're so right.
Can you explain that? Explain the Bill Clinton check.
Yeah, I wasn't alive back then. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's how old are you, Dakota?
21.
He was just a glimmer in his dad's eye.
All right, Tanner, our foreign policy correspondent, Tanner, you can explain the Bill Clinton check.
Okay.
All right, do it.
What were they just talking about again?
The Bill Clinton check with the North Koreans.
In the 90s.
Ready when you are.
No pressure.
Wait, with who?
With the North Koreans, right.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a different one. My bad.
Oh.
Did you think the blue dress?
That was a different Korea.
Yeah.
You're talking about the blue dress?
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Oh, okay.
Not the check, the blue dress.
Yeah.
We talking about cigars here?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Jared brought his.
Have you seen the picture of that t-shirt that's going around on Facebook? It has like Bill Clinton, and he's in like a battle-torn...
War-torn area?
Yeah. And he's standing up. He's got his hands on his hips and a knee raised in a battered suit with a cigar in his front pocket. And Monica Lewinsky is grabbing... He's like clutching his leg like a woman in distress. His fly's undone. Hilarious.
It's based on the old poster of...
Reagan?
Romancing the Stone. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie poster. And in the vein of the Reagan posters as well.
Yeah, because there's one that's... an artist made a bunch of those of the former founding fathers, like George Washington holding a lightsaber, and like Thomas Jefferson, intergalactic battler.
Jer, your mother has instructed you to get Tanner a cool cloth and put it on his forehead because he doesn't look like he's feeling
well. He's not feeling well. I'm sorry, Mom. He's had a, just like you, Mom, he's had a traumatic knee injury and he's struggling through.
He's
probably going to have to see Dr. Ralston.
It hurts, and I didn't get any sleep last night.
And he took a Benadryl or five before the show.
Nah, he gets motion sickness. He took the boat here from Henry County.
He rode down the White River.
If I take Benadryl, it makes me feel terrible. Yes. Like, it makes me feel high.
You seem like you're high. That's exactly what it is. I couldn't put my finger on it, Tanner.
It's not pleasant.
No.
Somebody asked why there was a zombie on the show. He's not a zombie. He's
LARPing.
I'm trying to get a piece of that pie. Once I get some pie, I'll wake up.
It sounds like brownies are more up your alley at this point.
Yeah. You know, when did you eat those gummies?
When did I eat those gummy bears? Yeah. I ate those gummy bears while you were getting your cord.
Cool. That's why I told you. I told you he ate one of them. He didn't eat both of them.
What's your favorite pie? This is a cherry pie. If you're going to pick, go to the restaurant. We're going down to Stacks.
German chocolate.
German chocolate
that's
pie.
That's a cake.
I'd have never guessed that by your haircut.
Cake too.
German chocolate.
He said that's his favorite type of cake.
I normally go in and tell Kyle I want the school shooter fade.
I'm like,
did you hear about Walmart?
I'm always like, give me the Columbine.
Oh yes,
that
yes.
article.
What was putting the sign above
me,
the
going to court over Walmart.
Oh, that's right. You're suing the Walton family.
Let's He's the key witness.
We'll get to that after the podcast, Tanner. Uh-huh. It's not yours to cut into. It's dad's.
It was a gift from your brother's future wife to your father.
What?
In a shocking act, an olive branch of friendship. Yes. The windmill of friendship and tolerance, basically.
That's what she should have made in the pie crust.
Yeah. Did you see there's a clothing brand that's trying to reclaim the swastika as a symbol of Hindu peace and happiness?
I'm sure that's going to go well.
Oh, it has gotten noticed.
It really was.
Yeah, we want to reclaim the swastika.
That's what the swastika means.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, well, it's we want to reclaim the rainbow cool from the gays.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're trying to take the rainbow back, too.
Yeah.
I saw somebody snapped me a photo of an Indian man who had, the Asian Indian.
Not feather, exactly.
I was trying to be politically correct.
Oh, is that not?
No, it's not even real. Yeah,
you literally have a button on your wall that says politically incorrect and proud of it.
Well, those are buttons that I collect political buttons. I've also got a George Wallace button that your girlfriend, your future wife gave me.
The lovely Sarah Potter did give you a gift.
When are you guys going to get married?
It's the weekend after Audrey and ours.
Okay.
Oh.
Now
that's a
wedding that weekend, but
I give you a badass.
I've got a different wedding that weekend.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Sure. I would love that.
The Trump one.
You did. You gave me
inauguration.
Yeah, Tanner, if you remember, was our correspondent at the inauguration. Tanner.
Oh God, it always gets brought up.
Yeah, Tanner was our correspondent, and he dropped his phone in some Coca-Cola or coffee, and all I got was random
phones. F-K-E-D. Phone is no vowels.
P-H-N.
Seven star.
Thankfully, you work it.
FONESFUKD.
Thankfully, you got that job over at the Brisket Wireless. So now you've got a new phone, and you're in high cotton.
Do you still have the pink phone, Tanner?
Dude, I don't know where it's at.
It's with your debit card.
Yeah.
It's charging in the kitchen, I think.
I'm trying to.
I think it's in your hand.
He's actually the live feed up right now.
I'm trying.
Watching it.
I know, I can hear it in the background.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, Greg. Someone on the Facebook live feed said it would be senseless for all of these Koreans, regardless of North or South, to die. Why doesn't somebody just decapitate the country from the top? Why doesn't somebody take Kim out, like the CIA or one of his own people or the Chinese or somebody? Why doesn't somebody infiltrate and just take this guy out? What's the problem with that scenario?
One, part of Secretary Tillerson's strategy in order to, you know, try to lure them back to the negotiating table to slow their development of the ballistic missile technology and nuclear proliferation is that the U.S. official position is we are not pursuing regime change.
Right.
We have no desire to do that, to topple the kingdom, or to try to deal with the fallout where you have a bunch of people who've been brainwashed and secluded from all of popular culture, from everything. And
right.
So they are the kind of civil discontent that would arise in the from a quick change. I mean, you're talking about having to, I don't know how you'd assimilate a group of people who have been had their sense of self evaporated.
Right.
And then I'll say, welcome to South Korean commercialism and consumerism.
Yeah.
That would be that would be a revolutionary type scenario.
Sure.
And one that would not be pretty because they would fight to the last. They would resist, you know, any type of cultural assimilation or see it as propaganda, based on how they've been raised. And so that is why Kim has eliminated anyone that looks like they are on the rise as a potential heir.
He's been killing people in the last year.
He's systemically eliminated anyone that even could be potentially identified as a replacement.
Now, we mock about him being a stupid little fat kid, as John McCain called him, but it is amazing for a third generation that he's been able to maintain power for even just a few years.
He has, and he has been way more aggressive in pursuing nuclear proliferation or nuclear weapons because he knows it is the only thing that will allow him to maintain the kingdom. If he doesn't,
I don't even know where he got that coke from. I didn't even have
He brought it.
Oh, okay.
He brought it with me.
Yeah.
Just a wild Coke appears.
Highly functional.
He went into the wrong apartment and while he was there. Hey, bro, you mind if I borrow this?
You want some I've got caffeine
pills.
You got
that pills. From 606.
Like, it's like some caffeine pills?
I'm fine, really. I just need to stand up, eat a piece of pie. I'm just kidding.
Why don't you just stand up? But, why don't you do some calisthenics for our live stream?
I can't walk, bro.
Oh, that's true.
Torn ACL.
And that's the problem is I couldn't go to sleep last night.
Right.
So I was up all day today, and it's just... It's been hell.
But you're committed. You still came.
I was coming no matter what. Like, I haven't been to the doctor yet because I wanted to come here.
I saw him try to use his brake the first time. He nearly got into a semi down there at the end of the highway. It was close.
What?
Let me ask you a question, Jer.
Yes, dear leader.
You let him drive after you saw that?
I couldn't stop his car.
What
that would be intervention and non-intervention.
Sorry, Mom.
Have
you ever,
I don't have police powers. I can't stop him.
You do in Henry County.
That's very true.
Saw me do what?
Tanner, I'm going to sign you up for the Smith Defensive Driving Academy.
Did you say you saw me almost run into a semi?
Yes.
Yeah.
I knew that semi was coming.
You? No, he was stopped.
And
you weren't.
He's also the one that you flipped off.
Yeah.
Tanner
is in my way.
Tanner is the most jolly, happiest kid I've ever met, yeah. And I've never met anyone who more bad shit happens to him.
I'm bad luck, Brian.
He's Murphy's Law.
Since the beginning of August, you and Brisket Wireless have separated.
Right. Yeah. You got in that car wreck.
You had a car wreck back in June.
Right.
Car came out
and
of nowhere.
In May.
There was the bike
and
wreck on YouTube video.
The bike wreck on YouTube.
That was the 1 year anniversary.
Oh, okay. What you had?
Aaron Ewart thought you died and made a meme of you that and made all your family members upset.
You were poisoned. You were poisoned at two We Are Libertarians parties. Two.
Three, including.
No.
Found out
no,
Hank
no.
Hill's a cuck.
You had too much Benadryl. That's not our fault. All right. Now. You've drooled all over your shirt on camera in front of thousands of viewers on Facebook Live.
Oh, no.
Last week, you had an appendix attack that turned into a pancreas attack.
Yeah.
And you spent the night in the hospital.
That was such a genuine oh, no, too. I'm isolating that.
He's more upset about that than having pancreatic cancer.
I forgot about the gallbladder. What's wrong with your...
That's not the gallbladder.
Most of the organs are failing him.
He thought he had an appendicitis attack.
I'm sure I got some
cirrhosis going on in the leg.
Now it's cirrhosis.
Cancer, too much Benadryl.
Pink eye, too.
No, I'm probably going to go to... Or I do. I am going to the doctor tomorrow. I have an appointment.
He's testifying against Walmart on behalf of.
He sued the largest retailer and employer of U.S. individuals.
Do you guys want me to tell you this story?
No, let me. Long story short, it because we want to wrap up the North Korea stuff here in a second.
Okay, so.
Oh no.
I talked to this guy. And he's the CEO of a clothing company for MMA fighters. Like,
right.
Rampage is sponsored by him.
It's like white. It's like a white trash Affliction t-shirts.
Right.
Ed Hardy.
I'm not going to talk bad about him because I'm friends with the guy.
Do not mention the clothing line's name, though. Okay?
Right. Yeah, I won't.
So anyways, they are suing Walmart because of you.
Yeah.
Because of your report. Yeah.
You reported to the CEO... You are the star witness in this trial.
Well, actually,
as I said, he's the star witness.
The guy was like...
He just Jurassic Parked you.
That sound you heard in the microphone was Tanner belching, as I said. He was the star witness.
I feel like you just, like, kicked through the main entrance of Jurassic Park and let out a T-Rex growl.
So there's going to be a civil trial in October, and he's flying to federal court in California.
Tanner, don't take too much Benadryl before you take the stand.
So, I plan on...
Like, Prosper, you're going on
so
too long.
Like, basically,
I'm so bored,
this
bro.
This lawyer
this
calls
is
going to
be a discovery.
Everybody let him talk.
This lawyer calls me, like, probably 2 months ago. And was like, hi, I'm blank blank representing blank blank
Blankowitz
in a lawsuit against Walmart. And he said, you told me that you had sent Alden blank
right.
a picture of a MMA an MMA clothing brand's logo with
this is a trademark infringement suit
with no clothing underneath, and if it was, it was a knockoff.
Gotcha.
And I said, yes, I did. We talked for like a half hour. He called me the other day. We talked for like 40 minutes.
Right.
And then he made me write an actual statement. I have the statement.
I've read the statement. You're a beautiful writer.
So you did a deposition?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And, sworn statement. You're going to be the first person ever to end up in prison as a result of testifying in a civil trial. Bad luck.
That's seriously like, all of that's true.
I've seen the Rockford Files, and I'm very concerned about your safety.
So what the hell is the Rockford Files?
The private investigators will come after you.
He's 20.
You need to look out for yourself, my friend.
We message all the time. We talk on the phone. Like, he's got my phone number.
This is the Waltons, though.
Huh?
Walmart, like...
This is Arkansas money.
200-year-old pickle companies out of business.
You see what the Clintons have done to people in Arkansas?
I think Walmart's going to lose.
You're going after a future employer. What are you doing?
I'm not working for Walmart. Thanks for believing in me, Spangler.
It's going to be Purdue Mart when he's done with them.
Are the Walmart's cucks? Are the Walton's cucks?
Dude. You know, rumor on the street says that Sam Walton wears a chastity and watches his wife fuck a black dude.
Is that in your sworn statement?
Now, before I have to.
You should drop that truth bomb in federal court as a key witness.
I will. I'll say, look,
he's a Bernie bro, bruh.
Before he said that, he looked to his left, he looked to his right to make sure nobody could hear him.
Sam Walton's been dead for 30 years.
You need to fast forward to an hour 14 on the video and watch him as he tells that story. My God.
Let me tell you about Walton.
Well, dear leader, thank you for having us on your show. This has been incredible.
Incriminating or incredible?
Incredible.
We've already been used in several different trials.
It's very true. We're on the public record.
Now, Jamie wants to know how high Tanner is. He's not high at all. He's
poisoned.
He's been poisoned.
I've been poisoned.
No, he's had Benadryl. That's what we know.
Rachel Valor overuses Robitussin.
I was just with Rachel and she did give me a drink.
We've had this talk before. She overserves him Robitussin. She gives him two of those little cups. He's very sensitive.
She gives me some pill that has a 200 on the back of it. I don't know what it
Quaalude is. Quaalude 787.
Yeah, Quaalude.
She got some old lewds.
Go ahead, drink up. Have another hit on that Pepsi there. Old Bill Spangle here.
So.
So to finish up with North Korea, I mean, we pretty much covered most of it.
I do think it's weird that the media is like, playing up how serious this is.
Well, that's because they want ratings.
You think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's one of those things, though. It can become self-fulfilling prophecy.
Are we still fighting ISIS? Is that still happening?
I think Trump destroyed them.
The MOBE.
It's convenient.
Took care of it.
Yeah. Right.
So they want this for ratings just like they wanted Trump for ratings? How'd that work out?
Now they're beholden to him, to be honest.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Just but like I mean, yeah, like war can be self-fulfilling in that, you know, language matters. The language you use matters. And it's one thing for a young and untested president, or, you know, a person early in his presidency to not want to be challenged. But it's quite another to do it with somebody who's at, you know, somebody up against a corner that's desperate. You don't want to push too much because they have nothing to lose if they're on the precipice of collapse.
Right.
Then it's like, well, why wouldn't we fire the nukes?
It's Saddam. We're gonna get if Saddam had nukes at the end, you think he's going to fire them? Hell yeah, he would have.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was done either way.
Look what ISIS has done to the places they controlled, to all the artifacts that remained. They blew up that Tower of Baal that was one of the oldest mosques in all of Iraq. I mean, they
you have no reason to preserve.
And that's the worst kind of enemy. You know, nothing especially when they have nukes.
Yeah, recreational make nukes.
Would you ever use a nuke if you lived in Kapistan?
Yes.
Would you?
Well, if it got real, most of the time I would hire private mercenaries.
But what if you, what if your neighbor was Kim Jong-un? Would you fire right now a nuke at him based on what he's done?
No, we'd be friends.
You chill like so, Rodman and him?
Yeah.
So Ray Kroc is your pal.
But like if he was Sam Walton, not so much. And he got a, like, say he had a tree growing and one of his branches was like over my yard line, I'd probably send a mercenary to kill his whole family. But if, like,
he does that himself, you're fine.
You'd be John McAfee.
But if somebody, like,
live and let live.
If I was in a car and somebody, like, hit me, like, rear-ended me, I would take out an RPG or a nuclear missile.
The appropriate thing to do is to sentence them to be your butler.
Who?
The person that hit you. That's the way it went down.
No, I would use the recreational McNuke.
Do they have medical nuclear warheads yet? Is that the way that we're going to get these?
Hydrogen bombs. We're just going to make the whole population now, high as shit.
We will cure entire populations of glaucoma.
What we're going to do...
My Second Amendment is not fulfilled until I can have...
Your own personal
nuclear
nuke.
Missiles.
I think of all the people at this table, you're the one I would give a nuclear missile to.
Tanner, I think you should probably go home and start working on building it now. And if you get it built, you can have it.
Have you ever seen Back to the Future? Find some Libyans and tell them that you're going to build them a bomb, but just give them pinball machine parts. And then get a DeLorean.
Also a bulletproof vest.
Someone
That's
told
very
me
important.
I looked like the Unabomber. I don't know what the Unabomber is.
Ted Kaczynski? You don't look like him. You're well groomed.
Are you
anything?
Ivy League
you are well
educated?
Groomed.
Are you Ivy League educated? Old Ted was. I know you do like to use the postal system, like Ted. But
hey, stop!
That's too far. Too far, man.
You leave Ted out of this.
Now, what is the appropriate response to all of this for a libertarian, Greg?
For a libertarian, that's a good question because. I asked, you know, when I asked Ron Paul the same question about what was the red line in Syria when we were out at DePaul.
In 2013.
He had a tough time because it's one of those things where if you wait until they're at your door, it's too long.
Yeah, exactly.
So what role do you play in trying, and at what point do you exhaust every single preventative measure like economic sanctions, trying to use like CIA tactics of, you know, fomenting discontent like we did in Venezuela, you know, to topple the regime internally through cultural things.
You keep talking until they draw blood and then you wipe them off the face.
But that's the thing is they fire a nuke before you don't get that chance usually. Well, and if they hit California, it's a win-win.
I'm hearing a lot of intervention from you people.
No, but I mean,
not me.
Are they an existential threat? No.
Absolutely not.
Life would go on for everyone except in Los Angeles.
I think that this is a great point that you made in the when they say that this is an existential threat to the United States. You made a great point about America's ability to survive a nuclear blast.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that?
Well, we're not an urban, we're not like South Korea. We aren't urban. Our population is dispersed. 20% in rural areas that would be unaffected. We aren't on the brink of collapse or any type of political or socioeconomic instability.
There isn't a Weimar Germany where a Hitler can rise, or a 1917 where a Lenin can rise. There aren't these factions.
Yeah,
in
the collapse
in
political trust and right. Civil War almost esque moments, and then
Chuck Schumer will rise. That's the risk,
right?
Chuck Schumer.
Apparently, he just likes to deploy the deep state on people for leaks.
Oh, really?
Remember when he said? When Trump criticized the intelligence community and said, well, their intelligence record hasn't been great. You know, then he goes, I would not, the deep state will wreck you. He said that on MSNBC and it looks pretty clear that that's the case. But we're not a concentrated area. We only have, 10 cities in the United States have over 1 million people.
Yeah. Indianapolis is like the 14th largest city in the country.
Right. We're just,
and it's not that big.
We're an evenly dispersed country. So where would you attack? I mean, are you going to hit Alaska? I mean, if that's your capabilities with your long-term ballistic missile technology,
they're going to have to hit. If they can get across Pacific, they're going to try to hit San Diego,
right?
Or they're going to hit one of the left coast.
If you
cities.
Hit, yeah, so you would hit like Orange County, and then right. Orange County hope for the fallout hits southern Los Angeles and then northern San Diego, and right. then you wipe out a good 4 million.
They're not positioned to do it, but their ultimate goal would be Philadelphia, New York, Washington, Boston,
right?
Those cities, you know, Baltimore, those cities over there,
and everything would continue on. We would just not be able to go. You know, you wouldn't want to go do Grauman's Chinese Theater. After Kim Jong-un sent a targeted nuke at them.
Right.
But everything would go on in the United States. Life would go on. Russia survived, you know, with Chernobyl, the nuclear meltdown.
9/11 was incredibly traumatic for our country. But
it united us.
It changed us, and especially it changed our government. But
correct.
We still continue, you know, even though our government got more, the deep state grew, it still, you know, we're still doing this podcast.
Right. It's, you know, we're not being black bagged for dissidents, you know.
God, I wish they would.
You have to realize that there's always going to be risk in life, but you can't live in fear.
It right. is. And nuclear war is just scary because of if you get hit, you're going to want to hit back.
Sure.
That isn't really an option because of South Korea and they're our ally. So we hit North Korea with a nuke. All of a sudden, you start cooking your allies. You know, and then Japan probably gets some of the, you know, Fukushima meltdown radiation.
Yeah.
I guess that'd be payback since we got some of that bad fish.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate when you get bad fish.
But I mean, no.
If they hit the United States, then you're fighting back. And then
what's
and then
the response?
If they hit the United States, they're done. I think that at that point, the Congress truly declares war. And
but we can't
attack.
Use a nuke.
Oh, sure we can.
No, because South Korea. The nuclear fallout. You would end up cooking our ally.
If they use a nuke on the United States, they're also going to use one on South Korea at the same time.
Right. They're not going to hit the United States. South Korea is who they would hit. If they get to the point of the absolute brink of collapse, to the point where there's nothing to lose, it is going to be unification of the Korean Peninsula is the primary goal because that's our last stand to maintain power.
Have you watched Man in the High Castle yet?
No, I haven't.
Better get back
to it. Is that what happens?
You better get back to it.
Does Hitler win?
Hitler did win.
I don't watch movies, but I watched Seinfeld with Jared the other day.
Seinfeld has a lot of parallel. Steve Bannon actually was one of the owned some of the rights to Seinfeld, and so he made his fortune.
Now,
really, I had no idea.
That's how he made his Goldman Sachs fortune.
Wow!
And then he got in trouble in
Steve
divorce
Bannon
court.
Steve Bannon made money off the Blood Boy.
He said he didn't want his kids
really,
to go to school with whiny Jews.
Stand watching Seinfeld,
I think for an American libertarian, there's absolutely no excuse to advocate for any military intervention. Generally, but in this case specifically, I think that all of the burden lies with China. China has the most to lose in this situation. If they're going to be a superpower like they want to be, they need to learn. They need to learn to be global leaders and regional leaders first and foremost. That was really what America. I mean, that's kind of what Trump's plan, but that was also what a lot of Manifest Destiny was, is control your own hemisphere. We obviously don't want to get drug into a war. We have these pacts that were chosen for us long ago, and I guess that's the question that we'll have to talk about on a different episode that every libertarian, I think, has to wrangle with in the modern era, is do you honor treaties like the ones that we have with South Korea and Japan? I mean, if you are a libertarian president and you are faced with the choice of South Korea just got hit with a nuke. No, it did not affect Americans, but America has made a treaty that says we should go to war. Do you, as a libertarian president, go to war?
Do you or do you not?
And that's a question that I think that people, that's one of the, that's why it's easy to be a libertarian and, you know, Liberty LARP in New Hampshire, but it's hard to talk about current events, because if you're Gary Johnson and you're sitting in the White House and you're faced with this very real potential, yes, theoretically and philosophically, the sanctions that were passed against North Korea by the UN are an act of war. If that happened to the United States, if that happened to Russia, it's in Ron Paul's world, that is an act of war, because you are, and so.
So you feel that economic sanctions are intervention?
Absolutely, they're intervention.
Is a boycott intervention?
It's an economic intervention.
Is it grounds for war?
Are you okay, Tanner?
Yeah. Makes total sense, though.
Because you... Because... is it grounds for war? No, but is it intervention? Absolutely. You as a nation, if you're placing sanctions or if you're driving through the UN sanctions on a country, you're intervening in their ability to conduct commerce, which affects their economy, and it always has the opposite effect. The American economy, the world economy, capitalism is what lifts these countries into a different place. Capitalism is what has changed China for the better, and it's what made America better. It's what made the world better over the last 250 years 300 years. And so when you were disrupting the markets and the flow of commerce and people, then you are deterring the very thing that you're seeking, which is peace. And
now,
so
you have a regime though that will absolutely refuse to allow the intertwining of markets, or because it can't.
Of course,
communist systems, they only work in closed systems. It's not like, you know, it's like Apple versus Microsoft back in the old days.
Right.
The reason Apple wanted a closed system was because it could be perfect. It could be their own little kingdom where there wouldn't be viruses. Everything would be plug and play. There would be no need to have adapters and worry about different, you know, system requirements. It's the ideal that usually doesn't exist.
That's why I have all Apple products. It is superior.
And the only reason that they had to open up to compatibility. They right. allowed people to write for their platform. They became the de facto standard.
Right.
You know, but they had to learn the hard lesson of their founder being fired from the company he started in a garage.
Right.
You know, and so with communist, it's
and
a lot.
He really
like,
got what was coming to him, didn't he, Greg?
I mean, yeah, he got the Tanner thing.
What?
Okay, thank you.
Bum knee.
Yeah. He tore his ACL. Ended up costing him everything.
JP says, so basically, I'm okay with a North Korean dictator brainwashing his people and threatening the attack on the U.S. Yeah. Guess what? Those are words, you dummy.
Yeah.
Like, they're just locker room words. I grabbed her by the pussy one time. Right. She wanted it. I'm a big star.
If it is you as a citizen of the United States are required to basically control your government. It is the responsibility of the North Korean people to dictate what government rules over them or any government that rules over them. It is not for you and I or Greg to sit here and dictate how the North Korean people are supposed to live. Yeah. The North Korean people, by not overthrowing their government, choose to have a dictatorship and choose to be brainwashed. And that is not my decision. That's their decision. And
does
so,
a battered spouse, though, know that they're battered that stays?
So who,
do they feel like
who
they can't
are,
leave?
It doesn't matter. At what point, just because you...
And I'm not saying I'm advocating for intervention. I'm just saying like there's like mindset that sets in where you lose the option. You forget you have choice. Right.
In some ways, yes. And no, I don't agree with you.
But even like for battered spouses and
absolutely.
Like battered women?
I have had plenty of experiences with battered spouses, not mine, but in helping, that's really...
She wouldn't leave!
No.
No way!
No, it's something that...
What did I do?
It is, I have a special place in my heart for helping women who are abused, and I can tell you that without fail, every single one of them knows what's going on at all times. They just don't make the choice to leave because they're too afraid. But there's never a brainwashing. It happens early on, but it's always like... Well, this doesn't feel right, but okay. And it's just these little tiny slips of, you know, that FISA court doesn't seem that good, but yeah, okay.
They are three generations in, though, I think is what Greg's trying to say.
Well, right. I just mean, like, is for some people, yeah, it's just that you're brainwashed to the point of does choice exist, and it's death if you're not right. Like, if you don't win, you lose.
That's the way revolution works.
Yeah, guess true. What? The American Revolution, every person who signed their name to the Declaration of Independence literally signing their death warrants. Every single one of them were going to be hung, and if they didn't win, that's how revolution
and
works.
And we wouldn't have won without French support. Like, we needed the support of others. So, like, if we could identify a group of an uprising group, like a Green Party in Iran.
We should probably check with Dennis Rodman. I'm sure he's got
the worms plugged in. Nobody's got swag like the worm.
Nobody can save us but Dennis Rodman. So yeah, I do agree that I don't agree that there should be any military intervention.
None.
There's absolutely no American or human interest for us initiating any force here.
And if you were to win and topple the regime, you would have no idea what to do with their society.
Right.
Right.
Oh, it's another vacuum.
It's for
You've
them.
Got another Iraq on your hands.
That's for them to decide.
And they would have no idea that they were allowed to.
Yeah, Iran is a little bit different than that because at least we could see Iran.
And there's a resistance movement.
Tanner.
And we know who they are.
What did you say?
I said I'll smoke a half zip.
Half a zip?
Yeah.
What is a zip?
An ounce.
An ounce of what?
Weed.
Have you been smoking marijuana this whole time?
No.
No.
This is what's wrong with the Korean Peninsula.
he's literally North Korea.
he's very placid, though.
I promise, Spangle.
He's like a 1986 Lisa, too.
It'll never happen again, Ma.
I don't agree with you. I think it will.
She's a bad influence.
It will.
Well, we're gonna.
She told you you had glaucoma and you didn't, and I don't approve of that.
We're gonna give Tanner some pie and pour him into the back seat of his car so he can take a nap.
Well, once again, dear leader, thank you for having the Balance Like a Liberty podcast with you. I know that Dakota and I have really enjoyed this show.
He tried so hard to be entertaining, and he tried too hard. The first rule of entertainment that I teach every intern, every new person that comes to work for me at my day job at the Bob and Tom show is don't get fancy. Don't try too hard. Just don't try.
Nobody because likes to try hard.
When you try, you get North Korea. So...
I called him Magellan on the way in here.
Now, we have a big pool party coming up on Saturday.
We do. Tanner's... we're having a big celebration of life for Tanner.
Yeah.
And,
hold on, I think he's celebrating. Tanner, what'd you say?
I said, yeah.
My friend Trevor is going to drive up from Alabama.
Is he really?
Going to drive up all the way from Alabama just to...
What town?
Huntsville.
Oh, good. Okay, I was like, man, if he does
Greenbow.
Oh, or Birmingham.
No,
that'd be a hellacious drive.
Gonna drive all the way from Huntsville, Alabama, just to hang out.
That's
with
good.
The
what? 5-6 hours.
I'm excited. That's news to me. I'm very excited.
Another
to meet
Confederate.
Him.
That's just what you've always wanted.
Now, Jeremiah, put too many rules on this party. It's always you can never have a homeschooler planning parties, can you, Greg?
Well, the last one got wild and out. Apparently,
no, it didn't. It was a very boring party.
The there was, a, was, there was a certain party. Someone who got very wild.
No. Here, I have a bone to pick with the Boss Hog of Liberty. He loves when...
We came here for our public apology as well. I'm glad we're getting to this portion of the show.
Is this the part where everyone apologizes?
No, there will be no apologizing from me.
Oh, really?
No.
Really?
Dakota and I will take the floor now. This is Boss Hog of Liberty cast show number 17.
He's Mike. Everybody's off except Greg and I.
Welcome to the Hermit Kingdom.
So
we just turned the lights off on the North Korean Peninsula.
See,
how about that?
There's two Jeremiahs. There's Jeremiah, the wonderful, caring friend, the man who is here, who is participating, the man who is does a great podcast. And then there's Content Jer. Yeah, and he is now under protest on the show. He is writing notes on the Facebook Live. You can watch this at YouTube. Now, Greg, he two parties ago was having the time of his life bear wrestling his brother, as we've covered in previous episodes, and screaming out, content!
Vegas Jer.
But then last time it was very you cannot silence freedom, his protest sign says.
Please clap.
I have ripped up your signs. They mean nothing to me in my kingdom. And but then we had another party where one person just had a little too much fun. I thought it was an appropriate amount of fun, to be quite honest.
I imagine you did.
No, you're not on mic. Go ahead, Dakota.
I don't think it was an appropriate amount of fun. It would have been appropriate had it been just a regular wall party.
Or dancers.
Instead, it was Jeremiah's birthday party with Rex and Susan Bell. All of his family.
I blame Rex, like, actually, to be honest.
His 90-year-old great aunt was there.
She was hooked up to some life support thing, and I went to the bathroom first, and it said, do not unplug, you will kill my aunt. So my first inclination is, I should unplug this, because it'd be hilarious, because I didn't think that was real.
Nothing's funnier than watching someone
Content
desperately
Chris.
Fight for their life.
Glad I didn't do that. I'm just offended. See, here's the problem. You can't invite everybody to your party, because everybody, you can't invite normal people and us to a party.
Normies and Aspies.
Normies and libertarians don't mix. And now everybody at this party is upset that he says, don't... What does it say? Don't bean flick at birthday parties. And there was a hot...
It was a front swipe.
There was a hot 20-year-old blonde who might or might not have done a strip tease on Greg and I. And libertarians are mad about it. Oh, yeah. Exactly. What'd you say, Tanner?
They're not real libertarians, are they?
Right. No, because real libertarians love what, Tanner?
Fucking what? The men?
Fucking the men? I don't think.
Wait, like
I don't think that came
men,
out right.
The men libertarians? Or
oh, what do they like?
Yeah, what do they like? What do the
men libertarians like? Playing World of Warcraft, sitting on their ass.
What does it say?
Looking at Spangle
kids. Is a beef thief. I'm not
in more ways than one.
I'm not Jesse Riddle.
looking at kids.
Get it off the pie.
Toby Keith songs are fine.
Looking at ass.
All right, well, let's start wrapping up. It's going to be a fun party, Jer. We always have fun at your pool parties. Your mic is back on.
Well, thank you, dear leader.
Right.
How do you podcast in Braille?
That was very difficult.
That was well done. I thought you were an offensive coordinator for the Colts.
Been studying with Peyton Manning over here.
All right, final thoughts for this episode. Jeremiah,
really appreciate you letting me showcase the talent of Henry County, Indiana. The best and brightest are what we have to offer. This has been fun for us. I hope that your listeners, the 10 to 20,000 that are listening at this moment, plus the live stream crowd, check out the Boss Hog Liberty podcast. It's a lot of fun. It's micro focused on to Henry County, Indiana, but I think it applies to everybody. Well, a lot of fun with locals in the community, and you get to know Dakota and myself.
And then Tanner's on it a lot.
Tanner's been on 3 or 4 times. We're negotiating the contract with his agent right now to see if we can make a return appearance or not.
You gotta wait till the Walmart thing's settled.
We
that
don't
could be
know
a toxic
how
attachment.
Things are gonna go, but we're trying.
He literally looked up at me just a moment ago when you said Tanner's on it. He looked up,
so
raised
confused.
His head, raised up his eyes, and he looked just like a sloth. If you've seen Zootopia, he was the sloth.
I am looking forward to the pool party.
Whenever you said agent, I was like, what?
Agent.
I have an agent. He's like, terrible.
We're going to have, at this pool party coming up, Greg is going to provide karaoke.
Yeah, I have a karaoke. We don't have lyrics, though. We got to get that worked out.
I think we know the lyrics.
You think so?
We got that memorized.
I got an iPad.
I feel like every time people know it by heart when they're singing in the car alone, and then the second there's a crowd, all of a sudden, it's like a blankness.
We'll get an iPad and a
happens to me too.
Yeah, we'll maybe a mic stand or two from Spangle.
You end up with Jeff Vibbard at a karaoke bar singing "Social" like, to John Mayer awkwardly.
So anyway, this should be fun. Like and subscribe us on Facebook. Give us a try. I'm looking forward to the We Are Libertarians bump, and it's gonna be big.
When are we gonna do our appearance on BHOL?
You guys name
it. I've been trying to line my dad up for weeks.
Well, Audrey, it's the but now that the pie, now that the piece we've
There's
made
been a
peace,
offering.
Peace pie.
She made a peace pie, and I have a gift for her that I'll be giving to her Saturday.
The wedding is coming up very soon for Dakota. There's been a lot of wedding talk, a lot of wedding
there
planning.
Is, and
not
Jeremiah,
for me. Not
Jeremiah
for me at all.
Hasn't even ordered his suit yet.
You were going to measure me. That was going to be live on the air.
Do you lay left or right?
I ran into Tad Western getting fitted for a tux, and he has a wedding. It was the wrong size, and he needs it for Saturday.
Right.
And so he was, like, fretting at there. And he told me that his dog somehow peed on its drapes, and instead of just, like, at the bottom, it lifted up its leg and hit mid-drape. Like, right at the window level and just soaked it all the way down.
Poor Tad and Kona.
Dakota?
Yeah, so please check it out. Check out the Boss Hog of Liberty. It is a fine little podcast produced here on the We Are Libertarians Network. You can pretty much just go to iTunes, search We Are Libertarians, and you'll find all of our podcast selections. Make sure you check that out. Dakota Davis, I have become friends on Facebook with Audrey's sister.
Have you really?
Tonight?
Yeah. Lindsay Peavy and I are friends now.
Well, let's get the whole story there.
Yeah,
you sent her a friend request first, right?
I did. Yes, because when Audrey said I couldn't come to the wedding, I said, you know what, I'm gonna friend request your little sister.
And it's you know, usually preteens don't use Facebook.
Kat said it was creepy, and I said, how do you think that you're on the podcast now? Because we were teasing Chloe, and I friended
don't
you.
Don't say we. Do not say we. I never wanted a third co-host. I've never
this
said.
Is, this
never
woke up to be a said, pattern
oh,
here,
if we
leader.
Only had one more.
You find the younger sister. You did this with my sister.
I sure did. But
yeah, that was an aquatic attack, really.
It really was. Today,
last week, Spangle texted my little sister.
Last week, I texted your little sister. How old is she?
She's 18.
How did you get at the phone number again?
Two years till eligibility.
I put it in group chat.
Oh, not
very, very innocently. I was trying to send her phone number to Kat, and then was like, you know, Kat, you need to take my sister under
arguably,
your wing.
Arguably, Kat's creepier than Spangle.
Seriously. I would
not
be,
kidding.
I would treat her with respect and dignity. Kat is an animal.
They're going to go to Muncie Teachers College together.
Yes, they are.
No, I had a
chirp,
nice
chirp.
I had a nice conversation with
cluck,
your sister.
Cluck.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just laying.
She,
the,
I saw
you guys
her.
Actually DM'd.
Oh, we had a I had a full conversation. Yeah. It's,
oh yeah.
Again, Greg.
That's a boundary.
2 years till eligibility. So
I
you
saw
mean expiration?
Her,
no,
I saw her last night, and she said, "You know, I got a text the next morning that said miss you."
I know. We had this long conversation, and then just like I was like, you know what? I'll amp the creepy up to 10 and make this a great story. I will just write. Miss and then the letter U. I'm so glad.
You know,
I bet she did mention
did
it.
Did you see what the first message was?
Yeah, I saw the first message.
Yeah, where he said, "Hi, my name's Greg Lenz."
Yes.
So, did you heard this story on episode 216?
Yeah.
Or on episode 16? We don't have 200 episodes ourselves yet.
Yeah.
His mother.
Oh, trust me, I listened to Audrey when
his,
the topic of my appearance
text,
at the wedding.
Texts the person that's raised him as his father. And says, "No, Greg Lenz is your actual father."
Yeah,
that's right. She, I texted it.
And I see her yesterday, and I'm out to eat with my mom and my dad and my sister and Audrey.
It's his birthday.
Yeah.
His birthday party.
And I said, I cannot believe, none of us could believe that you actually texted dad that Greg Lenz is my actual father.
I know.
And she said, "No, I texted your sister." And my dad's sitting there, and he said, "No, you texted me."
We're sitting at the Newcastle Elks Club, and I take $5 out of my wallet. She's sitting. I'm sitting here, and she's sitting where
you're
Spangle
not
is.
Milk.
I'm a guest of.
Oh, you were okay.
Of Mr.
Yeah.
Davis.
I was gonna say that's an invasion.
So I
inside
I,
job.
I give her. I've known his.
They're like the Masons in Henry County.
I've known Mrs. Davis for 3 minutes, and I offer her $5 to tell Mr. Davis. That Greg Lenz
oh my God.
Is the actual father.
and she does it.
I thought it was Bailey. I thought it was the sister. I didn't realize that it was. And she didn't take the money. But I put it on the table. She texted it.
Easy there,
and,
feller.
And it was, I'm talking with my hands. Like
yes, you are.
I love to bring families together.
And as we found out, she full on thought that she was texting my sister.
Hilarious.
Who Spangle has been. Sliding DMs into.
Yes.
And adding on Facebook
said,
and probably liking
said,
spring break photos from 2 years
nah,
ago.
I didn't add the sister because I could tell she was creeped out. But
imagine that.
But
but you added this future sister-in-law.
But his sister-in-law, she's a little troll, I can tell, so I added her. And then she denied the request after his fiance said, "Don't add him, he has autism and he's creepy."
That was...
Which only,
I've been impressed by Audrey Jo because I.
It's been a good
this,
week for your relationship.
I wrote this heartfelt thing about how I enjoyed her friendship and it didn't matter that I wasn't invited to the wedding and I understood because it's tough. Weddings are tough. You know, really laying it on thick. And she wrote, "Still not coming."
And so she texted her sister and said, "I have autism and I'm creepy and only one of those things is true."
She said, "Don't add Chris. He's very creepy. Plus, he has crippling autism."
That's right. And so
he literally can't walk. He's so autistic.
So
he's in the state Tanner's in all the time.
She denied the request. I sent a message in all caps that said, "I do not have autism, but I might be a little creepy." but add me anyways. And she added me today. So we're going to be brothers.
Things are getting serious, you might say.
You're going to be my stepdad, Greg.
Well, all right. I mean, I'm being given family members like Goodwill, so, you know.
All right, Dakota, any final thoughts?
Nothing much, really.
We'll have you guys on again and, in a different,
you know,
less inebriated state by one contributor.
I need to
so
get
that way you can
hey,
be a little more,
does
you
that
know.
Mean you'll be my step?
We'll be stepbrothers.
Hell yeah.
Bunk beds, bro.
Can't wait for them to share bedrooms.
You got
to
get...
Send me anonymous messages on the new app.
Saraha?
Saraha.
Did you get the one about Bittner?
Yeah. Was that you? I knew it
was. you've been getting these DMs for about a week.
There's the Sahara thing that everybody can send like private anonymous messages. There are various incarnations over the years. I don't do it because I'm way too fragile.
Give us the top three or four, Dakota.
And a lot of Dakota is gay.
Oh.
Huge fan of dick.
It's like if you wanted a 4chan where you were one of the threads and you said go and just let all these anonymous people say whatever they wanted.
Here's one. I'm sorry that I have to be the one to tell you this. Everyone hates you and you should just stay home on Saturday so we can make fun of you while you're not there.
Jer wrote that. Look,
no, I did.
Audrey.
There's one that I wrote and he figured it out earlier.
Oh, he did right away.
Yeah, he figured out the one that I wrote.
You are a faggot, and I hope Jesse rapes your face.
Seth is the worst.
I heard he bought a dildo just to smack it.
You're so sexy, is this one.
Isn't that crazy?
Here's one from Chris Spangle. I've always had a crush on you, and the fact that you're a libertarian makes you even better.
I didn't actually write
that. I watched
him
write that.
You didn't?
No, I didn't actually write that.
Oh, he wrote it. I have the documents.
Here's one that says, your friends text 18-year-old girls.
That was your dad.
Not more.
Quite a few of them about my beard, which I don't have anymore.
Audrey?
And, here's Dakota and Audrey. I plan on bringing Morgan as my plus one to your wedding reception. Is that okay? I've made it clear that she is to avoid Greg at all costs, as well as making her promise not to perform her lap dance routine on any of the other attendees. I can't wait to help you celebrate your special day.
That was Bittner.
Signed, Bittner.
And he only, of course,
would sign their name
Bittner
to an anonymous app.
I want credit for my anonymous
comment. He was homeschooled for like 6 months.
Oh, my no.
Only homeschooler that had a personal short bus.
And a Kentucky water polo cut. Did you ever have a mullet, Jeremiah? You seem
only,
like a
only person who has
no,
ever
I,
been...
I had the Trent Lott haircut from 10 on. I was...
He's the only person to have ever been taken out of school for being too rowdy and only have lasted 6 months with his own parents.
You've met him.
Yeah. All right, Tanner. Tanner, final thoughts for this episode?
I had one in mind, but it slipped.
You got anything to announce about your birthday party Saturday night?
Yeah.
Sunday morning?
Everyone come to my birthday party Saturday night.
What's the address?
I don't fucking know.
I wasn't going to edit it out either. You're a hero, yeah. Tanner. You're a hero.
Be there and be fucking a bitch. It's going to be a good time.
You want to do a little preview of the Toby Keith you'll be performing?
If you do Willie Nelson,
portion.
Let's keep that then for the main thing. I thought you might want to do though the Taliban song.
Yeah.
Or how do you like me now?
Always in living in my radio.
Somebody start the song off for me.
American girls. American guys will always stand up and salute, will always recognize when we see old girl flying like an old man did, so we can sleep in peace at night when we ride down ahead. My dad served in the army and lost his right eye and flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack, and mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through that big black eye, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Bum, 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 bum. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking them tits. And the eagle will fly. And it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom started ringing a bell. It'll feel like the whole wide world is coming down on you. Brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Trucks today, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I think that needs a round of applause, everybody. That was really something.
On one leg. That was impressive. That is the talent of Henry County right there.
I just shut our mics off and let him go. I mean, it was really a beautiful thing. Thank you, Tanner, for that. You brought a tear to our eye. You brought a tear to the listener.
Sorry,
listener.
I just smoked way too much weed.
No, you're starting to sober up after that song a little bit.
I mean, I was just so bored, I wasn't getting to talk. That's why if I would have went outside, I would have been able to, like... I don't want people
close to
think
that mic.
I'm a fool or something.
No, you're not a fool. Trust me. This has been your best performance on this podcast.
Really?
Legendary.
I'd like to come back, but I don't think...
No.
I don't want you to think that
Tanner.
I'm going to come back fucking loaded or something.
Yeah, you want to dial it back down about 1.5 blunts.
I smoked 2 grams on the way here because I was like, I was like, these dudes are going to want me to be stoned. God. So I went and bought 2 grams.
You're like Nate Newton.
I smoked about $40 worth of weed.
Nate Newton was a Dallas Cowboy,
an
offensive lineman.
Talk as close to the mic as you can, Tanner. Now
I smoked about 2 grams of weed on the way here because I was like, these motherfuckers ain't gonna want me on their podcast if I'm not high.
That's
so I was trying to find your place. I was smoking a joint and trying to find the place, and this bitch looked at me like I just kind of flipped her off like I did that trucker. But I ended up finding Jer.
I am horrified at these allegations.
Tanner, you know, I don't need you to smoke weed before you come here. You don't need to do that. You are very smart and entertaining and funny.
I do enjoy my herbal exercises, but...
See, I thought it was Benadryl. You lied to me.
You lied to all of us.
You were so high, you let me talk you into you knocking over a beer can that you did not actually knock over.
I was fucking baked, bro.
I know. You were high.
But did you eat... You didn't eat those edibles.
No, they're right here.
That hurt my
So this
feelings.
Has been a fun episode, everybody.
I'm gonna have to eat them, and I'll order more.
No, you're not eating them here because you have to...
No, I'm not here.
You're not staying here.
Here's a text I just got. He's fucked up like a soup sandwich.
Yeah.
Who said that?
It's about 10 o'clock, and you're not staying, so you need to... We'll
no,
get you.
I'm gonna have to leave.
No, we're gonna put you... These boys are gonna take you home, so you're not driving.
He's gonna stay in your daddy's basement tonight, up in B Ripple.
You're gonna sleep in
spoon. On the Monon. I will set you up a tent, and you can. I'll throw some marshmallows out there and some kindling.
I seriously just got so bored sitting here. I was just like...
Don't act like you smoked weed during the podcast. You came in.
Bro, I was blowing smoke as I walked up your fucking stairs. Like, I tried not to blow inside the house.
I
also, Chris Galt,
dude,
if you're listening,
you
need to find...
Seeing
you.
That joint
disappear
that
off
I
Facebook.
Rolled?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't think these bad things about my son. This is all new information, and I'm outraged about how your mother's
you. Will be
you.
In church Sunday
you,
morning.
You hit him
that right
you hit him on the back earlier this earlier in the podcast, and I think if you had done that a little bit more...
I'm going to spank him.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember seeing that joint that was in chat earlier?
Did you guys see him? I didn't see anything.
I saw it.
It would have made Snoop Dogg proud.
It was a 2G boy, at least probably 3.
I don't know what that means.
Listen, man, you are not
almost an eighth.
You're not the first, nor are you the last person to be high on this podcast. I mean, for God's sake.
Oh, I've done it before.
You can't even imagine the amount
of... Oh, Maya and Gina back in the olden days at Cholo Run.
Oh,
where people died by a drive-by.
And Miranda.
Wiz, we rolled up here today.
Miranda's THC count is 87, so...
We rolled up
that's
here today.
That's her actual blood.
Dakota's
that's her blood
this
type.
Place,
THC.
That's it.
This place is much
it.
Nicer than we expected.
Mine was 1860.
1860.
I have the paperwork still.
I have the documents.
What'd you say, Jer?
Dakota and I roll up here.
Yeah.
This is not what I expected.
I
want to
go
all.
Smoke a cig.
Much nicer.
Dakota. You want to go smoke a cig?
That's okay.
Let's finish the podcast.
We're still on a podcast.
We're still live.
I thought that ended forever ago.
Dude, you just admitted to smoking all that weed on the podcast.
I don't care. What are they going to do? Come arrest me?
Yeah, probably.
I hope
you are on probation.
You are on probation, Tanner.
I got like a month.
I got like a month.
He's still on it.
I don't care. Like, I thought you were going to like crop the rest of this out.
No.
I mean, I don't give a fuck.
I'll leave it in. I'll take it out if you want me to. But we're live on Facebook, so there's really nothing you can do about it.
I mean, I just
this is why I didn't want to live stream, Jeremiah.
You know me. I don't have a filter.
I said, you know, for Tanner's sake, we probably shouldn't live stream tonight.
I said, I agree.
I can edit it. And,
I demanded a live stream.
Literally, all the four of them ganged up on me. I was like, okay.
Well, I had told them. I had put that in the meme last night announcing the, you know, the unification of the Wall Peninsula and how we were going to be imposing mandatory freedom for all, and so I felt like it would have been a lie.
It is a great meme.
Would have been fake news.
It's up on our Instagram, the We Are Libertarians Instagram.
Excellent work.
You requested someone to be your dad, and I'm like, well, no, let's just make it all of us.
I think it's the only time I've ever been in a Greg Lynn's meme.
Oh, no, I made you as Do Not Talk to Me or My Son Ever Again. I was John Oliver holding you.
I wanted Milton Friedman to be my dad because he's the father of Poonhounds.
David Friedman.
Speaking of John Oliver, the English made an announcement. Prince Charles is getting passed over.
Really?
Did you hear that?
Cucked. He's getting line of succession cucked.
He's getting skipped for William.
His own son cucked him.
Is that, did Queen Elizabeth say
she
so?
She made that decision yesterday.
No. It makes sense, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's had a divorce. It's,
he's cucked.
He's impure.
All right, final thoughts.
You can tell by looking at you both are cucked. What? Final thoughts?
Yeah, final thoughts, Tanner.
I don't have any thoughts.
Where can people find you on social media?
Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat.
Is it Tanner Perdue on all of them?
No.
T Sizzle?
Final thoughts, Greg.
I think my Instagram's TJ Perdue. My Facebook is PERDEW. W is in George W. And then my Instagram is Rashbringer. Like the hashling slash of the Rashbringer, you know, the Rashbringer.
Greg, final thoughts?
I just want to thank Jeremiah, Dakota, and Tanner for making the trip. I know it is not a short trip, and we started late.
Love you, Pops. Love you too, son.
And, you know, we would have started a little earlier, but Tanner had this slight issue, but... He got lost in this rather enormous apartment complex. And
it's very complicated.
I asked him to honk twice so we could find him while he's on the phone with Jeremiah, and we couldn't hear him, and so we just started yelling Marco until he showed up.
I came to the right spot.
You did.
I was like, I think I know where
it's. You were out front, and you didn't pay attention when Jeremiah walked in, and so you didn't want to just pick from four. You had a 25% chance of being right which apartment unit it was. So I'm impressed that you were here.
Well, there was like five different ones. Because I didn't know exactly.
It's apartment 529.
Yeah. I mean, I would have took my chances.
Tanner. But
thank you for coming.
I tried to open their door with it unlocked or with it locked. I thought it was your house. So I just.
Those lights and cameras were something totally different over there. And,
is that everything, Greg?
That's everything. I just. I'm going to be relying on Dakota in old age to be taken care of.
Yeah.
I got you.
Unless you win your Walmart lawsuit, which I'm rooting for you. I'm just kidding, buddy.
All right.
And happy early birthday.
Please listen to the Boss Hog of Liberty on iTunes. Google. Just go to iTunes and type in We Are Libertarians. You can do that on Stitcher or on Google Play, and you'll find all our podcasts. Get the Boss Hog of Liberty. It is a fine show. Listen, next episode we'll give you an update. Follow our Snapchat on Saturday night if you'd like. It is going to be filled with many of the shenanigans of the party. It is the letter R. We are libertarians because we couldn't fit the A and the E in there. So
I'm looking forward to your next snap filter for the party, dear leader.
Yeah, I should do that.
You should work on that.
Yeah, I should do that tomorrow. Remind me tomorrow, please, or else I'll forget. All right, thanks for joining us. Thank you. Here on this episode of We Are Libertarians, you are all so generous and so kind to us, and we appreciate everything that you guys have done to help make this a real show. Make sure you follow the Chris Spangle Show as well. We're going to have a lot of content in there about the Building of the Wall Network. If you've made it to the end of this, then you're a real fan, so we want you to get the inside scoop as I try to build this into a real business. I'm going to give you all I'm going to teach you how to make podcasts. I'm going to teach you how to build a network and learn and all the things that I've learned on building this and that I am continuing to learn. So thank you for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians. We promise some certain things. All right. We promise at the end of every episode to do what, Tanner? And as always, we promise.
Yeah, we always promise to take questions.
All right, well, that's another. As always, we promise.
I don't know.
It feels like Tommy Boy trying to close his
face. I need a skippity doobop.
Can you give us a scat cat at least?
How do I give a scat cat?
Just give us your true thoughts on Cat Anagnos.
Too soon. Still very.
I mean, I like Cat. She's really cool.
Former fiance. Like
all right, and as always, we promise
to do better next time if we can.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.